here with episode 75 of the TV and Lust video game podcast for TVandLust.net. Today I am joined by Seth Castellum.
Hello.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
And just Seth Castellum, so you're gonna have to deal with that.
Yep. Everybody left us.
We are almost to episode 100. I mean, I guess technically it's like 25 more weeks, which is like half a year. So maybe not almost.
Yeah, I'm about to say that's not really almost.
But it's closer than it was last week, right?
Every week is closer than it was last week, Craig.
Exactly.
We're almost episode 76.
Yes, exactly. Almost episode 76. We're almost there. Hooray. We can celebrate.
Almost to the gas station episode.
The gas station. Yeah. We don't have a whole lot of those around here.
I don't know if we do around here anymore either.
They're mostly like highway things where like truck drivers go, right?
I don't know. Well, that T-Rex like knocks one over in downtown San Diego in Jurassic Park 2.
I've tuned that movie out of my memory, so.
Okay, well.
Gymnastics, I don't know, there's something.
Yeah, I mean, gymnastics are the only thing that could defeat a dinosaur. A velociraptor, specifically. A
velociraptor, yes.
Does not work on, like, T-Rexes or Compsognathus.
No.
No, not at all.
But we've been doing this podcast for about
a depressingly long time?
Yeah, about 2 years, and it's gotten better, and it's gotten a bigger audience, but it's just still funny, like, how, like, ridiculously amateur this whole operation is after 2 years.
I'm not going to pay for, like, a good microphone or, like,
I'm not even using a microphone. I'm using the microphone built into my MacBook.
Right? Yours sounds good, though, because you have, like, local recording, so.
Right, the record, yeah, exactly. It's recording from my end, so, yeah. But, you still have to hear my voice, so it's like good quality, but it's still my voice. So it's
God, your voice is so good.
It's really not. Like it sounds.
Your ghost? What the? Your voice is like a. It's like a blanket made of like puppy fur, just wrapping around my entire body.
I think I sound like a cartoon character.
No, you sound. My voice is like, guys. So, I mean, I don't know how people put up with listening to me.
Maybe we all just bring something. So it's been a long, busy week for me. I've done a lot. I've been super busy, and I am now tired. I'm hoping this week is a lot less busy. I'm hoping I get to play some Yakuza and some Journey. I'm looking forward to that.
Yakuza Dead Souls?
I'm going to refuse to call it that from now on. I hate that name, Dead Souls. Like, what?
What's the Japanese title? Living Dead?
Of the End.
I guess.
Which I like way better. I don't know how you couldn't like that way better. I think this is exactly what I mentioned this in the last episode where like sometimes Japanese titles they're a bit stranger and maybe they don't really mean anything but they sound far more interesting, like Dead Souls, like what fifth grader did you pay to come up with that? sounds like a Goosebumps book.
It's the new From Software game. Got Demon Souls, Dark Souls, and Dead Souls.
Speaking of, I still haven't played Dark Souls. And on the subject, as a listener corrected us, the Collector's Edition that we were discussing last episode was actually a free upgrade for those who pre-ordered, in which case it's really not that bad. Still kind of lackluster. You just get a card and, like, here's your, digital stuff, whereas Atlas gave you all that stuff physically, but it's still not as bad as I was complaining about then. I actually
did pre-order, and I still didn't know. I bought another copy though afterwards for a friend, and I mean they were still selling the collector's edition at a higher price. So I think that's what threw me off.
Right, and that's what threw me off too is that it's still available like everywhere, and it's being sold at a premium. So that's what threw me off too. But free upgrade, so not as bad as I made it out to be, but still not. Awesome, I guess. I don't know.
It's not fun just getting a tin with a card and a flimsy book inside.
Right, I mean, that's the thing, exactly. Like, I don't know. I don't want to complain too much about it. But just the same. So, how have you been?
It's been all right. I mean, let's see. I guested on a friend's podcast, but he has not uploaded this thing. It's been, like, nearly a week. I'm just assuming that it was so awful he couldn't use any of it.
Oh,
yeah, I don't.
I just put the whole damn thing up, like editing. Like maybe sometimes I chop things up and put it like before like the theme song, but nope. It's all up there. Just you say something.
I mean, it was really weird. He was like, "All right, here's just what happens." And if like microphone doesn't sound too good, we might record. I was like, "What? Re-record?" That's
Well, don't understand. Like I was saying before, like, we're totally amateur here. Like, we don't, Skype starts cracking up and it's like, eh, people figure out what Chris is saying, doesn't matter.
I'm pretty sure we've had like 30 minute conversations with robot voice people, so.
Exactly. But, so tell us about this podcast. Where can our listeners find this podcast so they can listen to you?
No, I'm not even on any of the episodes that are up. No, okay, it's Good Stuff, Best Stuff. That's the name of the podcast, and the name of the website is goodstuffbeststuff.com.
You're saying best stuff. You're not saying good. Okay, because it kind of sounded like you were saying good stuff, bad stuff.
No, good stuff, best stuff.
Okay, well, I'll make that clear.
Okay, goodstuffbeststuff.com. And it's a comedy podcast where they pretty much rank everything ever in existence and make a list for it. So, you know, if you're, like, going on vacation and you're trying to figure out, like, what you want to bring with you, you could pull up this list. And number one on the list is the moon. So you could bring the moon with you and some tacos and some puppies, stuff like that. But it's pretty funny. And I am on episode 6, which is not up. So don't listen to any of the other episodes.
Oh, okay. Is this also available on iTunes? Is there, like an iTunes...
I was yelling at him for this. He said he cannot figure out how to get it on iTunes. But he said he will eventually get it on
iTunes. It is way more complicated than it needs to be. Like, once you understand it, like, you're like, oh, okay, well, it's just a feed that iTunes grabbed, but it has to be, like, a feed grabbed from a specific place. Like, once you understand it, like, it's really not that complicated, but it is way more complicated than it needs to be. You know, I had to go through, like, this multi-page tutorial to, like, get everything going. And then someone's like, well, why don't you get it on the Zoom Marketplace? Because I'm not fucking doing that.
What the hell is a Zoom?
I'm sorry. Here's an RSS feed. Just grab that, okay?
Yeah, well, he has an RSS feed going, so.
Yeah, I mean, that should be fine. An RSS feed or a direct download link. Yeah, that should work for most people.
But yeah, I'm on episode 6. Don't listen to any of the others. They're no good without me. Nah, they're probably a lot better without me. But it's pretty funny stuff. Listen to it.
All right, cool. So, have you heard about these remarks that Fez developer Phil Fish made about Japanese games?
Kind of
blew up.
That was a kind of an asshole thing to say.
Those were my thoughts exactly. Like, I met Phil Fish, and I've talked to him. I've met him in person. I've talked to him online. I've played Fez, and I think he's a good dude. I think that Fez, from what I played of it, is a really good game, and I think it will be an awesome, you know, product when you can download the whole thing. I don't know the guy personally. Like, I've just talked to him a couple times. But it seems so uncharacteristic of what I know of him. But basically what he did was at a GDC panel, a Japanese person, a developer even, you know, stood up and asked him, you know, pointed out that, you know, older Japanese games seem to influence some of your design. What about modern Japanese games? And Phil's reaction was just, you know, your country's games suck. I think that's the exact quote. And the Japanese guy didn't even know what suck meant. Like, we don't really think of that as slang because it's just entered our lexicon. It's just a basic word, but that's slang. He didn't even know what that meant.
He's like, it sucks up influence from everybody, right? It's a good thing. Yeah.
And you know, everyone, there are people that are like laughing and it's just, I think it highlights something that, I talk about, and not in so many words on the podcast, but, overreaction is the new reaction, where like people just can't say, where like Phil can't say, oh, well, yeah, you know, I really did enjoy Japanese games of the past, but I'm not a big fan of many of the games that your country puts out. The aesthetics, the play mechanics, they're not my cup of tea, and I'm not really into them. That he could have said that, you know, when you say something like your country's games suck, like that's
you're really, like insulting an entire country,
right?
Like not just like the developers either, but like the people who enjoy playing them. And.
And you're not even just some dude. You're not just some dude with a blog. Like, you're at a GDC panel. Like, I think you have a responsibility to be more tactful. And then, of course, the reaction to Phil also illustrates overreaction is the new reaction. People sending him death threats, and it's like, well, this is stupid.
Who's saying something?
You know, obviously no one's going to kill Phil Fish because no. You throw that guy in a bar in Seattle, and you can't tell him apart from anyone else. But, no, no one's going to kill Phil Fish, but he was getting death threats, and, like, that's absurd. And, you know, this is why, I mean, you've pointed this out, how I generalize, and it's really not fair, and I'd rather not do that, but I think sometimes I do it to illustrate a point where, you know, it's really hard to make a point without talking about the audience reaction, the player reaction, you know, and people, a lot of people in general, of course I'm generalizing again, but in general, like, they just don't know how to react like a normal human being. they overreact, and that's a normal reaction. Like, that's perfectly acceptable is to overreact and say, this is fucking stupid, is to do what Phil Fish did. And then if you want to overreact, like if you want to assert your displeasure or pleasure, I guess, above and beyond that, you have to overreact. So it's this constantly moving target of overreacting. And it's not healthy, you know, for us. I mean, not for any hobby, not for anything, but, you know, I don't think that's a good idea. And that's why I constantly point it out. And, you know, and usually it's restricted to online discussions, but this was, you know, this was a member of a GDC panel that said this. You know, it's breached that, you know, bottom of the joystick commenters to...
I still blame the internet. The internet's like screwing us, screwing up...
It is.
We don't know how to socialize anymore.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Like, well, I say this kind of shit on the internet, that'll fly in person, right? No, it doesn't. Yeah. Act like a fucking human being.
And Ben Kuchera, formerly of Ars Technica and now of the newly formed Penny Arcade Report, you know, he said on Twitter that he'd rather someone be real rather than give, like, PR responses. And, like, that's fair, but you can probably do a little bit of both, particularly if you're in a position of influence, like a member of a GDC panel is.
Speaking of PR, do you think, like, any of this was done for PR? Because, I mean, his name and Game's name was everywhere right after this.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
All right.
I don't know. And, because to be clear, Phil Fish did apologize, and as near as I can tell, the person he kind of talked to, like, accepted his apologies. You know, that's all good and well, but you have to exercise some responsibility. Like, it's a double-edged sword. Like, you can't, to say, like, oh, yeah, my right to be real supersedes any and all respect. Like, that's kind of selfish. Like, I guess you can say whatever you want, and then you have to deal with the backlash, as Phil Fish, you know, came to learn. But you can say whatever you want, but at what point does that supersede someone else's, you know, the respect and civility you could have in a conversation? I mean, my general rule of thumb is if I can express an opinion without insulting someone, I'd rather express that opinion without insulting someone, if that's the option.
Yeah, I mean, if I can do anything without insulting someone, then A, I'll go that route.
Right.
Especially, he's trying to sell a game here. I'm sure there's, like, a lot of overlap of people who like modern Japanese games who are also looking forward to Fez, such as myself.
Right, exactly. I had a pile of games on my desk. I put them away, but every single one of them... I was thinking about this when I was putting these... I had to catalog them and put them in my room or whatever, but... And every single last one of them was a Japanese game. Like, clearly I don't agree with them. Clearly I'm pretty cool with Japanese games. But it's not even that. That's not even the point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Although, man, maybe I'm looking way too far into this, but it almost seems, like, imperialistic the way the West, you know, way it's cool for him to say that Japanese games suck and then, like, half the room laughs.
Like, I heard there was also some booing, too.
Yeah, there was some, but yes, there was some negative reaction. But it's such a common theme to denounce, like, an entire country's games. Like, it's so weird, like, how Japan gets banged. Like, how is the video game industry in Belgium? How's that working out for Belgium?
I don't know.
Dang, I don't know either. it's just so weird that, like, Japan just gets so ganged up on. I obviously don't agree with that, and I think it, like I said, I think it seems almost imperialistic the way it's just like, we white man hate you, Japanese game. Like, and it's cool to do that. It's cool to say your game sucks to a Japanese guy. Or it's not cool, depending on the backlash. Like, I don't know. Some people were totally like, oh, no, he's totally cool. The Japanese games do suck. It's cool that he says that. Like, I don't know. And then you have people like Keiji Inafune, like, I don't know, they feel like Uncle Tom's. Like, see, the Japanese guy totally agrees with us white men. Like it just... they prop him up, and they're like, see?
Yeah, those damn reverse weeaboos.
But anyway, I just wanted to point this out because I just, you know, be righteous to one another. Like,
don't conduct yourself better.
Yeah, don't. Let's do our best. We all slip into dickery every now and then, but let's do our best not to be dicks to each other.
Let's really try our best not to, like, do it in public at an event in front of thousands of people.
Right, absolutely. So we got some news here. And we got a Virtua Fighter character in the upcoming Dead or Alive 5.
We do. He totally looks like Ryu, too.
He does, yeah. Akira Yuki. I'm not really all that into Virtua Fighter. I'm not. It's never been a series that's appealed to me. But this is pretty cool. I'm looking forward to Dead or Alive 5. I think this is launching sometime this fall for the 360 and PS3.
Just that video with the character reveal in it is, like, making me look forward to it a lot. I really like the interactive environment going on there.
Yep. Yeah. And, we do have the video up on the site if you guys want to check it out.
I like that the girls don't look like real dolls anymore.
Yeah. Real dolls, dude. That's interesting. we are talking about, actually, this week's topic is fighting games, but Dead or Alive is probably my favorite fighting franchise. I really, really enjoy that. And I'm looking forward to this game. Let's see. XSEED appears to be bringing Ease, the Oath, and Fel'Ghana to Steam.
Yeah, I sort of feel like an asshole for this headline, because appears should have really been in there. I mean, I'm making it sound, like, definite with this headline. I mean, like, 99.9% of the time when a game appears in the Steam registry,
yeah,
it appears on Steam. But there have been a couple of instances where nothing came of that.
Right. I mean, Oath and Fel'Ghana was originally a PC game anyway before it was ported to PSP in 2010. It's really not that much of a stretch anyway. And this is probably the best Ease game to have released, like, recently. I mean, I don't know all together. There seems to be quite a few of them. I haven't played them all. But I've played the more recent ones. Like, you have Ease 1 and 2 Chronicles, like the PSP games. And this is probably the best one. I mean, just gameplay-wise, it's probably the best one. Ease 7 is way more modern, and so it's sort of appealing in that regard. You know, it's a little quicker, the combat's a little peppier, you have this nice little roll dodge command. But Oath and Fel'Ghana altogether is probably the much better game. It's really enjoyable, and if this is indeed coming to Steam, download this game. It's really good.
I think I'm going to have to get this if it does. I mean, it should. It should. I'm sure XSEED will be announcing something eventually. If not, everybody could call me an asshole. That's fine.
I do have a review for this on the site. So if you guys want to check out, just go to the site, punch in The Oath in Fel'Ghana. It's actually a related story from this news article as well. So,
Our format works.
bring in like three more hits or something.
Dude, I was trying to, like, I wanted to get into the E series, and I just could not figure out, like, the games. Like, you have to do research to, like, figure out which game is which, because
yes. There's,
like, the original games, and then they're ported across, like, dozens of systems, and then there's remakes of those, and then those
and
are
then
also
they're changed
ported.
In, like, yeah, absolutely.
It's a very confusing series to try to get into.
Yes, I agree. I have a few of them. I have the PSP ones, and then I have one on the Master System, the Demon Seal. I don't know. I forget the fucking name, but I also have one on the Master System. Damn, some of the older ones are weird. Like, you just bump into your enemy to, like, attack them.
Really?
Yeah. You're like, bitch, take that. That's
huh.
That might have to do something to do with, like, input limitations on, like, earlier systems, like, or something, I guess. So you create an attack button. Because, I mean, you know, what's the difference between that and, like, mashing A to use your sword or something? I don't know.
Not just like, excuse me, miss. Excuse me, miss. And just, like, stab somebody while doing
it. Shinima said! What else we got here? Renegade Kid is teasing a new game for the eShop called Bomb Monkey. And we just have, like, a logo, and, like, that's about it. But this is created by Jules Watsom of Renegade Kid, so it's a thing, but we don't know what kind of thing yet.
Of course, he just released Mutant Muds not too long ago.
Yeah, and apparently that was a successful model for them, and I'm glad. I mean, they're definitely a developer with some chops and some vision and some ambition, so I hope this route works out well for them.
There's a little monkey sprite just dancing on the Bomb Monkey webpage.
Yeah. I think that's how they initially sort of teased, like, the current incarnation of Mutant Muds was a Maximilian sprite.
Yep.
So
it looks like it's another 2D game. And he's on, like, different colored blocks, so it does look like a... Oh, it says puzzling, too, for... Yeah, it's a puzzle game.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah. I could go for, like, a decent downloadable puzzle game that's always on my 3DS. Nice, simple pick-up-and-play. That's what it is. So, yep, that could be good. I guess we'll have to wait to hear more. EA has announced SimCity. Like, that's just what it's called.
Yeah, they're just calling it SimCity.
You know, it's not 2 Sim, 2 City or anything, but no, it's just SimCity. And it was announced at GDC. Apparently the panel was, like, this huge clusterfuck. Oh, man, what I would have given to be there. It was all about, I don't know, being green and, like, being cool to the planet and stuff.
What?
Yeah, right?
That's what they're like.
It was all about, like, I guess it was about, like, climate change. People are, like, tweeting, and I'm like, oh my god, this sounds like a disaster.
Is EA, like, eco-friendly?
I don't know. I think that was sort of, like, the intent behind, like, the message, like, in the game or something. Yeah, that's coming out next year for PC.
Yep, so far just PC's announced. I mean, EA's been porting a lot of Maxis games to a lot of consoles, so I'll be surprised if it stays PC exclusive.
Yeah, it'd be nice if it wasn't, because I don't have one of those, so...
The game looks really good, though. I played a ton of SimCity 2000, and that's the only SimCity I've played, but I loved it, and, I mean, this looks good, so...
I played, like, the one on, like, the iPad, and then, like, SimCity on the Super Nintendo. Like, I really have, like, very limited, like, experience with SimCity.
Actually, I have played some of the Super Nintendo one. That one's awesome, because you could have Bowser attacks.
Bowser comes in and ruins your shit. Yep, that happens.
That would be my ultimate goal in the game anyways. I would just, like, build up a really good city, just get bored, and then on SimCity 2000 anyway, you could activate, like, just tons of natural disasters at the same time. So I'd have, like, floods, earthquakes, alien attacks. I guess that's not really a natural disaster, but yeah, just like build up a city just to wreck it.
You're sadistic, dude.
I guess. Well, it's sort of like when you're little and you're playing with blocks, you like stack them all up. It's like, what now? Knock those bitches down.
Nah, I never did that.
I don't like... You just leave it. You'd leave your blocks there. That's a society now.
this is a culturally protected zone. You get the fuck out. This is UNESCO World Heritage Site. Leave.
Exactly.
So boring Xbox child. What's up?
What a boring child.
I was not. Yeah, well, maybe. I don't know. I don't know if I was exciting. Probably not. Xbox.com outed a new Fable game, and this is not Fable the Journey, the Kinect game that is coming out. It's another Fable game. This one is very colorful, very animated looking. The characters look like puppets almost, or Muppets or something. Like, I don't know. And
that's a copyrighted term.
I really don't care.
Muppets.
And it appears to be sort of a party game, a cooperative, competitive, multiplayer hack and slash deal. Looks like there might be some mini games involved in it. We don't know everything about it, because I don't think it's been actually formally announced. There's just like a listing for it. I think there's actually a trailer. There's some kind of video for it as well, but I'm not 100% sure it's been formally announced. So it does look interesting. I like Fable games, and
those games really do look like Muppets.
Yeah, but I'm interested in this game. I'm up for a good multiplayer hack and slash. It's fine by me. The comments are hilarious. You read some of the articles. You go to like Kotaku or Joystick or whatever, and like oh my god, Fable keeps going downhill. Like you just saw screenshots of this game. Like it's just a hack and slash. Like it's not. I don't even know where that people are. I don't know.
It's just a cute little spinoff. What yeah. I mean,
well, nobody can... you know. What is that word? Schadenfreude? Is that what I'm thinking? I think people delight in the misery of others or something like that. And people just like being negative. They just want to attack stuff. I've only read the word. I've never heard it spoken aloud. I know what that's. You know what? When I was a kid, I read so much and I know all these words that like second graders shouldn't know. And I knew what they meant. I knew what they were. I just couldn't fucking say them because I hung out. Der. My parents were not terribly bright.
Right. I mean, I read a lot too when I was little. So I was like verbatim. Verbatim.
Yeah. But, yeah. No, that's yeah. But I think people just like to be negative about Fable because they can be, because a lot of people are. A lot of people don't like it. So if you want to take your aggression out on something, you can take it out on Fable. It's the punching bag. It can take it. But I'm interested in this. I do enjoy the Fable series. And even though this is obviously a clear departure, I'm interested in it. Looks like it could be pretty good. It looks better than what I've heard of The Journey.
Oh, I like Muppets, so...
Yeah, this might be up your alley.
Yeah. I'm going to have to look at a gameplay video. I mean, the screenshot you posted is confusing. I'm assuming, like, several enemies have just died, and there's just, like, giant
exploding the coins. Yeah, there's not a whole lot to see. I know Kotaku has a trailer. So, okay. I guess you can go to Kotaku and then just type in Fable or Fable Heroes. That will come up. No release date yet, but I would assume maybe soonish. I mean, it already has a listing on Xbox.com, so I wouldn't think it's too far off. So, for Xbox Live Arcade.
Mm-hmm.
And the final bit of news here, Phantasy Star Online 2, which was previously a PC-only release, will be, or announced as PC-only because it's not out yet, will be released on Vita as well next year, and it'll have cross-platform play. It'll utilize the same servers as the PC version, so people on PC can play with people on Vita, vice versa. And that's pretty exciting because I don't want to play this on PC. I don't have a PC, and even if I did, I prefer not to play my games on the computer. So this is pretty exciting stuff.
That is just, like, weird to me. Like, of all the consoles and systems to announce it for, like, Vita. Why Vita?
I wouldn't be surprised because with Monster Hunter being on the 3DS... you have the one that was the one that just released. It wasn't like a port or adaptation of Monster Hunter Tri on the 3DS, and Monster Hunter 4 is going to the 3DS with no announcement from Capcom or Sony that it's going to the Vita. Sony may have felt like they needed something for the Vita that was not too dissimilar, something that emphasized cooperative play and looting and grinding. This might have been what they needed, and maybe they paid Sega to have it for the Vita. Maybe there's money involved, which isn't a bad thing. I mean, that happens. I mean, I'm not suggesting anything insidious. That happens. Uh-huh. It's a business deal. It's fine. But that may be the case.
I mean, I wonder if the game has, like, voice chat on Vita, or because I mean, like, there's
Vita supports voice chat, and like even like. Cross game voice chat, like it's right, something right, the PS3 doesn't even do.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So I mean, hopefully there's voice chat because I don't know how else you'd talk to people in this game.
Yeah, no, it would be very difficult. I remember playing the original Phantasy Star on Dreamcast, and then like having my brother type things out on the keyboard. Like, I'm fucking killing fucking rappies here. You need to type out something.
No, I would just stop in hallways, like, which were usually safe zones, and, like, start typing something out. Or I'll just, like, have my controller in one hand while, like, running and then start typing something out. I mean, I bought that keyboard just for PSO on Dreamcast.
Oh, pretty much me, too. That's pretty much the only game I really use it for. Although there are other games. I think you can use it for, like, there's some games you can even play with it. Like, you could use, like, the mouse with, like, I think Quake 3 Arena supported that.
Yep.
And
yep.
OutTrigger, I think, supported it as well. So.
Mm-hmm. And then there's Typing of the Dead, which you need the keyboard for.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Exactly. Yep. But, yep, some good times with the first Phantasy Star. The Phantasy Star portables I've enjoyed. I they were on PSP. There's two of those. And those were good. And it didn't really capture the original Phantasy Star Online for me. I think the closest thing, actually, is Phantasy Star Zero, which was criminally overlooked, I think, on the DS, where that played a lot closer to Phantasy Star Online, the Phantasy Star Portable did, and it had, you know, local and online, you know, multiplayer. Like, it was basically an extension of Phantasy Star Online for the Dreamcast.
Did you play Phantasy Star Portable 2?
Yes.
Okay. And you think PS0 is still closer to PSO?
I was getting it really muddled here, but I think Phantasy Star Portable 2 was closer to Phantasy Star Online than Phantasy Star Portable 1. But I still, okay. Because it added. I don't know. It just.
I mean, I didn't play the game. I'm just going by what I've heard from somebody who really likes PSO.
But I feel like Phantasy Star Zero was just. I mean, I don't even. Were there? I'm not. I can't remember whether there were even mags in the Phantasy Star Portable series.
I don't know.
Zero definitely had mags.
Yeah.
But I think just the tone, the art style, a lot of it reminded me more of the Dreamcast game than Portable did. Portable was good. It was good. But it was sort of like a mashup of Phantasy Star Online and Monster Hunter, which is not a bad thing at all, don't get me wrong, but I think that makes it, you know, it's a little more, it deviates a little bit more from the original PSO roots than I think Zero. Yeah. I think Zero played closer to that.
I really hated the character design in Zero, though. It was all, like, very little kid-looking characters.
They were, yeah, they were sort of, I don't know, cutesy-looking. But, I don't know, everyone, like, in Phantasy Star Portable looked like a fucking robot. Like a lanky-ass robot, so I wasn't into that.
Hmm.
I preferred the Zero art design.
With them calling this one PSO2, they have a lot to live up to.
Well, there's a video on the site, and there are also videos of this already that have already been released when it was announced. But there's a video up on the site, and you can see there's some clips of the game in there, and it looks very pretty. And I do have high hopes for this. And even if it turns out, all these games have been good. Phantasy Star Online, Phantasy Star Zero, Phantasy Star Portable. Those I've enjoyed all of those.
Not Universe.
You know, but well, Portable is actually kind of derivative of Universe. Maybe that's why I'm not as into it. I think Portable borrows a bit from Universe. But I think all those games are good. And if Phantasy Star Online 2 is anything like any of them, I think we're all set. So still a little ways off, though. I mean, I think this and, like, Gravity Rush are, like, the only two games that have got me, like, really super hyped on the Vita. And, like, Gravity Rush keeps being pushed, but, like, yeah, we'll release this later. And then this is, like, next year, so it's like, okay. I mean, I'm sure there'll be good games between now and then, but definitely excited for those two games. It's going to be good.
Yep.
All right.
Wait, whatever happened to that? Wasn't Sony going to have, like, some Game Heaven conference or something?
I think that's what this was. I'm not sure what Game Heaven was. This video that is on the site, this announcement for Phantasy Star Online 2 for Vita, was actually part of Game Heaven. Like, I think it was, like, a video series or something.
Oh, okay. Because I remember, I just now remember that it was announced, and then I'm like, wait, today's the 11th, and I think that was, like, on the 9th.
Yeah.
So I missed it completely.
Gotcha. So that wraps up news, and this episode, Seth and I are going to talk a little bit about fighting games, and
sure you can.
I'm a recent fan of fighting games, but much more casually, I think, than a lot of other people. You know, a lot of people enjoy fighting games, I think, for the competitiveness, learning the combos, people count the frames. That blew my mind when I found that out. But I don't do that. I like them because they're very simple, pure pick up and play kind of games where you can fire them up, you can dick off, you can make some progress, whatever. And then you don't really have to worry about like anything. You just shut the game off and go, okay, well now I have to go to work or, you know, mow the lawn or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I like that pick up and play. I like that instant gratification that fighting games can offer. And that's why I become a fan of them. That's actually why I play them on portables, actually, now. That's really... Like, people have asked me if I'm getting Street Fighter Cross Tekken. I said yes, when the Vita version comes out, actually. But the first I wasn't always into fighting games. And the first fighting game I ever played, and this is probably why, was Mortal Kombat. And I don't like Mortal Kombat.
How old were you when you first played Mortal Kombat, Craig?
Well, the first time I can remember playing it extensively, actually, I played it... I was probably about 8 or 9, and it was actually the Game Boy version. Now, I had actually played the console once before that, but I owned the Game Boy one. Someone had given it to me for Christmas or something, and that was not a very good version.
I had the Game Boy, or no, I had the Game Gear version.
Yeah,
and that was not a very good version either.
Yeah, no, it just didn't, I guess it didn't do well on handhelds, but I don't think it did well on the consoles either. I think the controls were very slow and very clunky. There were, like, no combos, really, to speak of. Like, oh, you can uppercut this dude, or you can freeze him, or harpoon him. Like, there really wasn't a whole lot going on.
Now, I actually played a ton of Mortal Kombat when I was young. And I loved it. And I'm pretty sure it's just because of, like, fatalities.
I think that's it. Because I would be lying if I said I didn't have good times playing, like, 3 with my friends in, like, middle school or something. Because you go, oh, God, he's toasty. Did you see that? He popped up. We got him. And, like, that's it. Like, doing, like, fatalities and babalities and friendships and all this other stuff. Like, that was... That's how we derived fun from it. You know, it was really more of, like, a... I don't know. Like, it wasn't necessarily the game that we were having fun with. The game was just sort of the vehicle that we were having fun with each other, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And, Because, I mean, fuck those games in single player. You ever try to play Mortal Kombat, like, at least 1 through 3, like, by yourself? The computer's fucking clairvoyant. Like, it just...
You have to find, like, exploits to beat the... Like, all right, if I, like, take 2 steps forward and then trip, I could trip them every time for some reason.
Yeah.
If I try to do anything else, they'll attack me first.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you take a step forward, they'll take a step backward, and vice versa. Huh. And then if you try to jump through the air, they'll knock you out of the sky. If you try to run up to them, they'll... It's just completely clairvoyant. The computer completely reads your inputs and reacts accordingly. It's a pain in the ass. But even, like, multiplayer-wise, I still wasn't that into it. I think it was just having fun with my friends, and the game happened to be why we were having fun. We weren't necessarily having fun with the game.
I went back to the earlier games years later, and I went, what the? This is, like, borderline unplayable. And I actually gave away, like, I gave away all my Genesis Mortal Kombat games because I was like, I don't want these anymore.
But it definitely survived, if not just on the fatality, but just the violence in general. Like, I remember, oh man, why would they do this? There's a store, I think it was it Software Etc., which I don't think exists anymore, or something like that, that had, like, like a small, like, 13-inch, like, TV and, like, a Sega Genesis hooked up in front of the store. Like, not even in the store, like, right outside the entrance, so people could play Mortal Kombat. And there was, like, a huge sign, like, anyone caught inputting the blood code will get punched in the face.
And then people go, there's a blood code?
Yeah, blood code. Wow. Of course, there's no internet, so it was, like, all dealt in, like, playground, like, currency. Like, okay, well, you know, I'll give you this chocolate ice cream bar if you tell me the blood code.
It's ABACABB.
Yeah, I don't even know. I played it mostly on the Super Nintendo, actually.
Oh, this poor guy.
Most of the series I played on Super Nintendo, if I remember correctly. I don't really care. I played pretty much the same, but yeah, I never really got into it. The newest Mortal Kombat, though, from what I played, I don't own it, but from what I played of it, I didn't hate it. I thought it was pretty okay, but I think it was pretty okay because it borrowed a lot from, like, Japanese fighters.
I don't know. I wasn't really into it. I only played the demo, and it just felt weird to me.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong, I don't think it's awesome, but I think it's a lot better, and it's actually something I'm considering picking up for the Vita when the complete collection with a bunch of Ks thrown in there or whatever the fuck comes out. Like, I'm actually tempted to get that.
I would say that's definitely a lot more playable than the older games.
Yes, absolutely. But, man, those older games are clunky as hell.
Right? And it's weird, because I started playing fighting games with Street Fighter 2 on Super Nintendo, which plays so much better. But, like, back then when I was little, I couldn't tell the difference. I was like, Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter plays basically the same.
Yeah, I think that's the case when you're younger. You really can't. Number one, you don't know any better. You don't really have, like, this years of frame of reference to, like, say, like, okay, well, this game isn't that great. There are, like, way better games than this. You just play what's there, and you don't really think too much about that.
I actually think I like Mortal Kombat more than Street Fighter when I was little because of the blood and the violence.
Yeah, so it was everything but the gameplay. It was just everything but the gameplay. I can definitely appreciate that.
I was a very shallow child.
I didn't play Street Fighter 2 all that much when I was younger. Everyone played it. Like, everyone, I mean, that was like... That was a huge release for the Super Nintendo. But I never owned it. And few of my close friends did, so I really didn't get to play it a whole lot. And it lost me somewhere in between, like, Street Fighter 2 and Street Fighter 4 with, like, all, you know, the sort of, like, updates and re-releases that Capcom is known for now. I completely got lost. I don't know with... Alpha or none of this stuff is. I completely got lost in it.
Each of the Alpha games is pretty much its own game. So really, you got three Alphas, which are completely different. And I guess there's also like Alpha 2 Dash, which is like an upgraded version of Alpha 2. And
do you realize the words that are coming out of your mouth? Right? It's really not that complicated.
And then there's Street Fighter 3, which is like one game, but then there's three versions of Street Fighter 3.
Yeah,
because there's I can't remember what's the second one called? Those gigantic something? I don't know. And then, of course, there's Third Strike, which is the third version of Street Fighter 3.
Yep.
But it's not that complicated, Craig.
It's a mess.
No.
It's a mess, and I never really
I'm going to say Street Fighter 2 is the biggest mess, because there's like 20 goddamn versions that...
There's a lot, yeah. There are a lot of versions of 2. But, nah, I mean, was there one called Tournament Edition or something like that? Am I making things up? I think it was on the Genesis that I'm familiar with that one. Because, like, I played the original, like, Street Fighter 2, like, release on Super Nintendo, like... Most other people have. But I want to say there was like a tournament edition or championship edition or something
like
that. I
have the game. I'm standing up to look at it. It's a special champion edition.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking of. And I've also played that, but I haven't helped me. I can't think of the differences between the two games.
I think that one has like speeds that you could change and you could play as the bosses in that.
And
one.
That was like a complete, like, that was a complete re-release. That's bananas. And people complain about DLC. I have to pay $5 for this character. Yeah, before you had to pay like $50 for a brand new game to play as new character.
Well, I think that was the first... Well, in the Genesis defense, I think that was the first Street Fighter 2 released on Genesis.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Was that also released on the Super Nintendo?
I don't think so.
Okay. Did that one also have 6-button support, too, though?
Yes, it is.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, a lot of re-releases there, but between 2 and like 4 is a complete void for me. I never really got into Street Fighter there, but I really enjoyed Smash Brothers, and I mean, I don't know if there's any other way to classify that as a fighting game, but it's certainly non-traditional.
Nobody likes, like, people in the fighting game community do not like to call it a fighting game. And I don't know why, because you, like, beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah, well, it's because, I don't know, it's probably, I don't know, when you get into, like, these really, like, I mean, you see it in video games overall, where people are like, oh, like, Farmville's not really a game, well, then what the fuck is it? Like, people get really protective of their hobbies and the things that they're into in their communities, and, like, anything that's sort of, like, deviates or is different... Or some other audience other than their own enjoys. Like, oh, that's not real. That's not a real thing from what I like. And people get that way. But, no, I mean, it's a fighting game. I think it's weird where people are like, Fox, Final Destination, no items. And I'm like, way to just kill the entire game. Like, you.
No, actually, the Smash Brothers series is probably, like, the fighting game series I'm most competitive in.
And do you is that how you play?
I play no items, but... Stages are most of the stages I leave in. Anything that like scrolls a lot, take those out.
See, that's to me, part of the Smash Brothers appeal is being good enough to adapt to those new situations. I know it adds like so many X factors, and that's why people don't like it, because it's a little less skill based. But I think being able to adapt to those situations is the skill you need in Smash Brothers. Like, that's the whole point.
I personally would leave in. Some of the scrolling stages, because I don't think they're that bad. Like Poke Floats in Melee, that's one of my favorite stages.
Mm.
But some of the people I play with don't like them at all. So
and what about items though?
I don't like items.
No.
No, not at all.
I can't do, like, to me that's like Mario Kart without items. Like, yeah, maybe we can do a little less of the blue shell, but I mean it's just like. I guess you can race without items, like the game, like a game, racing games without items have existed for years. Like, that's definitely a thing. But I mean, that just removes so much of what makes the game, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't like them. Okay. I don't like kicking somebody's ass for like a while and then a heart like falls right where they are. Like, oh, I'm healed now. I'm like, fuck you, no.
but that's part of the experience, is being able to adapt to that. Is that random element?
No, you can't. Well, I mean, you could adapt to a randomness, but it's still random.
Yeah, yeah.
I appreciate that there are options in the game, so you can play it however you want to play it, though.
Yes, I can agree with that. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I mean, if somebody like wants to play with items with me, I'm not going to be like, no, that's not how it's done. I'll play. I mean, it's just when I'm with my group of friends, we have a very specific way that we enjoy the game.
I can respect that. But I mean, I look back at all the best memories I have of Smash Bros., those holy shit moments, and like you spend like half an hour like laughing at each other. None of it involves like just kicking someone. Like, it's all been involved with like items. It's always been like some jackass is mouthing off and you throw a bomb at him and he's dead and you win. Game! And, like, that's... And then that's hilarious, because he is a shithead. But if I just punched him, that's funny.
No, he has some awesome moments. Like, all right, like,
This sounds like... Man, we have some totally banging moments in Chess Club. That's what I'm hearing right now.
Link's up smash. It does, like, four hits. I have... My friend, like, dodged all four of those hits in succession and then, like, just fucking smashed the hell out of me. And that's awesome.
That is awesome.
That is, so, I don't know.
It's Chess Club awesome, but it's awesome. What's can you think of, like, any, like, super, like, unheard of or strange fighting games you've ever played? Some of the more offbeat ones?
Well, I mean, I've played some of the less popular SNK fighters, like The Last Blade 2. I don't think a lot of people have played that.
Probably not.
That game's really hard to, like, figure. It's 2D, it's sprite-based, and, well, the backgrounds and the character sprites, they all look really damn good.
Yes.
But the fighting mechanics are, like, confusing as hell to me. Like, you have, like, some normal, like, type moves, like fireballs and shoryukens and stuff, but everything comes out really, like, at weird speeds, and it's a tempo. It's, like, a weird tempo to the game, and I can't really quite figure it out.
Gotcha. You're partial to SNK fighting games in general, aren't you?
I just love their, like, character designs and their background designs and everything. So, yes, I really like SNK's fighters.
I remember back in the Super Nintendo PS1 era, I think this is back when Game Informer didn't even have a spine. Like, it was just some pages, like, stapled together. Here's your magazine from Funko Land. Here you go. And they ran this preview on a fighting game called BioFreaks. Are you familiar with this?
I've heard the name.
And I even remember what it stands for. It's Biological Flying Robotic Enhanced Armored Killing Synthoids. And I was super hyped up for it. Like, those cool character designs. Like, the idea seemed really cool.
I remember I seen it at Blockbuster when I was little.
Gotcha. Yeah. And, like, each character is equipped with a jetpack and a firearm. There's, like, location-based damage. So if a character has, like, a gun on their arm and you happen to cut that arm off, well, now they no longer have their gun. You can cut off their leg, so then they hop around on, like, one foot. So there's some really cool stuff in that game, and I was really looking forward to it. And, you know, this still happens in this era, but back then, like, man, like, outlets would hype the shit out of a game in a preview and then slam it in a review. And so, like, I think Game Informer gave it, like, a 4 out of 10 or something. but I still think, you know what, and a lot of people don't like it, and it's certainly not a competitive fighter. It's not one, like, you would have tournaments based around, like, no way. Mm-hmm. But I still really enjoy it. There's some really cool ideas in there. Like some of the stages are, like, multi-tiered. Like, it's full 3D, and there's multi-tiered stages. Like, some of them have hazards. Like, you can throw people into, like, fucking, like, grinders and shit. And just flying around with your jetpacks, like, shooting each other. Like, it's kind of fun. There's like a first person mode you can activate too, so you can do all that in first person. It's pretty neat. It's probably big on ideas and not so hot on execution. I'll give it that. But man, was I looking forward to that game. And like, there's only like 10 characters or something like that in it, but they're all like really uniquely designed. It's really kind of cool. It has like this whole backstory where like it takes place in Neo America, where corporations run the show and like the BioFreaks, like these synthoids, like in like, I don't know, protect territory or do hostile takeovers or whatever. So that's why they're fighting. I don't know.
Oh God.
Yeah. So nah, it's pretty fun. But I won't sit here and tell you that it's pretty good.
Speaking of stories in fighting games, I actually get really into them.
Yeah. You know, you had mentioned this, I think it was last episode, and I wanted to follow up with you on that. Where you said, like, cutscenes and stuff in video games help people get attached to the characters. And, like, I don't care about any of the stories for any of these characters. I really don't. Because it's all just stupid bullshit. Like, I don't know. Marie entered the tournament to protect her brother from being attacked by... Like, who cares? Who cares? It's all stupid.
When I was growing up and I was playing a lot of fighting games... if my brother wasn't around, I pretty much had nobody to play with except for against the computer. So I'd really look forward to like characters' endings and such. And then I would just start. I don't know. I guess I just started paying really close attention to all their motives and their backstories and stuff like that. So I just got really into them.
I can definitely understand that, but I've never gotten into that. And I get more attracted to character designs. To me, it's like more about how they look rather than any of their stories. Because in fighting games, actually, maybe fighting games more than any other game, like, the look of characters is kind of important, I think, and I'm not really sure I can articulate why. And we get some really cool, like, character designs out of fighting games, I think. Some really iconic things, like, I mean, you know, even with, like, Mortal Kombat, you have, you know, like, Sub-Zero and, like, Scorpion, you have the ninjas, and you have, you know, obviously, like, Ryu and, like, Blanka or Guile from Street Fighter, or, I mean, even goes from, like, Killer Instinct, you have someone like Fulgore from Killer Instinct. You know, you get some really cool, you know, you get Kasumi from Dead or Alive, some really distinct character designs that are really iconic and have stood the test of time.
Spinal's way cooler looking than Fulgore. I don't know what you're talking about.
No dice.
What do you mean, no?
He's just a skeleton. There's nothing interesting about that.
He's an awesome looking skeleton.
He's an awesome skeleton.
He has a bandana on.
And a skirt.
He does not have a skirt. What are you talking about?
He doesn't have a skirt? Am I mistaken?
Oh, actually, no, in some of the games he does. He does have a skirt in this game, but not in this game.
The one I played the most was KI Gold on the N64.
Mostly played the Super Nintendo one.
Yeah. But I'm pretty sure in Gold he has a skirt. But I played as Kim Woo a lot. I mained Kim Woo. I could wreck anyone with Kim Woo and KI Gold. I got nasty at that.
I could wreck anybody just by mashing the shit out of buttons in random order.
That's the funny thing about, yes, and Killer Instinct, for some, that's a total button masher's dream.
Like, 80-hit combo, holy shit, how did I do that? But just by, like, rubbing, literally, I stick, like, stick my t-shirt over my thumb and then just, like, rub circles around the Super Nintendo controller buttons.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I don't really like Killer Instinct.
Killer Instinct. That was the first game I had for, like, the Nintendo 64, and that's all I had to play for, like, so long, so I mastered the shit out of that game.
You know what? Gold took out Chief Thunder, too. Like, he was one of my favorite characters in the Super Nintendo.
I'm good without Chief Thunder. Who did they add? I'm not really familiar with the differences.
I can't remember.
My favorite is we would, oh my god, me and my brother and my sister would make fun of Tusk all the time. Because he was such, like, a derp head. Like, when he would win, he would turn and look at the camera and go, like, it was just like, really? Like, did that just happen?
I don't think he was in the Super Nintendo 1 Tusk. So, I guess he was added.
He was added, yeah. We traded up the Indian dude for, like, the weird, like, barbarian. But the barbarian was hilarious. There were times where I would play as him because he was really powerful, really slow. I like Kimu because he's fast. In general, my fighter's fast. Might be why I'm so attracted to Dead or Alive. And believe it or not, it's not the girls. maybe my initial was the girls. You know, like Dead or Alive 2 came out for the Dreamcast. Like, wow, they're kind of pretty and bouncy. You know,
that's a perfect age to market to that too.
Oh god, like, absolutely.
15, 14, like.
Yeah. I think I was about like 16 at the time, and I'm like, oh. Wow, look at this. And, like, I think, like, actually in that one, there are, like, ways to change the bounciness of the breasts. I think it's age. I think if you go to, like, some profile input screen or something like that, you can change, like, your age.
Yeah.
And if you jack it up, their chests bounce more. And you can change the color of their panties, I think, by changing, like, your favorite color or something like that.
I did not know that one.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how it worked. But, so I won't lie, that was, you know, I was a teenage male, so that was probably my initial attraction to Dead or Alive. But what I've come to appreciate about Dead or Alive is, number one, its speed. It's a very peppy game, but it doesn't sacrifice any of the snappiness. The blows that connect, they're very powerful, and there's, like, a crack. Like, it feels, you know, despite its speed, like, there's also sort of a brutality to it as well. I think the blows connect, like, really well in that game. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's accessible, but also still with some amount of depth. Like, I'll never count frames. I'll never memorize all these fucking combos in a versus game or anything like that. Because I don't play at that level. Mm-hmm. But Dead or Alive is pretty simple. It's mostly based on, like, a rock, paper, scissors thing. And then there's, like, highs and lows. And, you know, like, that's, I think, accessible enough for most people, but also has a little bit of depth, so, like, you're not just button-mashing your way to victory.
3D fighting games are really hard for me to play. Because I just...
Is Dead or Alive really, like, 3D, though?
I mean, compared to, like, traditional 2D fighters, like a King of Fighters or Street Fighter or something, because those games have, like, a lot of jumping and a lot of command movements, just, like, you know, quarter circle forwards, dumping in a lot of those, and something like Dead or Alive, I don't know, there's, like, a lot of, well, first of all, there's not a lot of jumping.
No.
And there's a lot of, like you said, it's a lot of high and low guessing, and then there's the counters and stuff like that, and my brain just does not want to work with those.
Interesting, because I find that actually simpler. I find that simpler than memorizing, like, a lot of, like, these combos. Like, people, like, use terminology for, like, I played MVC3. I own MVC3 and Ultimate MVC3, and people are using terminology that I have no idea what it means.
Those are easy. Like, the Magic Series combos just go from, like, lows to highs after you, like, pop them up into the air. Air launcher, and then lows to highs, and then a finisher to knock them back down to the ground. That stuff's easy, Craig.
Nah, we're not going to agree on this. I think it's just what appeals to us, but I think that, personally, like I said, I feel that Dead or Alive is far more accessible. But I do enjoy the other games, of course, too.
Like, Soul Calibur 2, I spent, like, probably a week learning Link, and then I didn't play for a week, and I just couldn't remember anything anymore. I mean, there's just, like, so many moves in those games.
Yes, there are. And Soul Calibur plays considerably different than, you know, like, Street Fighter or Versus, for instance. But, yeah, so I can definitely see the transition from there. It's not, you can't just pick one up and understand the other. Same goes for, like, Tekken, because I've never been really that well-versed in Tekken. And then I was playing, like, the 3DS version, and I was trying to do combos and stuff, but they're not really directionally based in Tekken series. They're more based on inputting different combinations of punches and kicks. I said punches and kickses, that's what I was going to say, but I totally didn't. I'm going to let you know that's what I was going to say, but I caught myself. Punches and kickses. And so I'm trying to do, like, you know, like, I don't know, like, quarter circle forward or whatever, you know, trying to do, like, a fireball. And, like, it's not doing anything. I'm like, how does this game work? Why am I getting rocked?
I've played probably, like, 5 minutes of Tekken games, and that was just me button mashing.
Yep, that's about what I was doing for a while. I'm like, okay, fine, I'll do the training mode. You got me.
So I'm like, I've only played that in an arcade in passing. I was like, hey, that guy has, like, a cat head.
I thought it was, like, a leopard. I thought it was like a hybrid or something. Like, no, that's a wrestler with a mask on. Yeah. Like, that's a really...
I mean, they have a bear in the series.
Yeah, so right, like... exactly. They have, like, a guy made out of wood or something. Like, they have a dinosaur. So they've got some weird shit. So it really wouldn't be that outlandish. Like, but everyone thought, like, no, that's a wrestler with a mask on. Like, oh, I'm sorry. The game with the fucking baby Tyrannosaurus Rex doesn't have a half-man, half-leopard thing. My mistake.
What's up with the dinosaurs in fighting games, too? I mean...
Is there a lot of them?
I mean, Killer Instinct has a raptor. And then the Soul Calibur series has Lizard Man, which is close enough.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and then you have Gon in Tekken. And then you have, like, all of, like, Primal Rage.
Primal Rage.
That game sucks.
That game's pretty bad.
It's just bad.
I did like that you could, like, pick up people and eat them while fighting.
That was
pretty sure cool. That was a thing.
That was a thing. And, of course, like, all, like, the things that everyone, like, farting and pissing on things, like, people...
Right.
But other than those things, like, there's really, like, there's nothing noteworthy about those games.
Yeah, even in my impressionable days of Sega Channel, I did not like that game. I was like, All right.
Mortal Kombat, you were cool with. The dinosaurs, not so much.
Exactly.
Understandable. What are some of your favorite fighting games?
Some of my favorites. I really love Street Fighter III Third Strike. I'm not, like, awesome at it. Parrying is hard, but I just really love the animation in it. And I think it has a decent selection of characters. I really like I like try to mention this game whenever you talk about fighting games. King of Fighters 13, which yep. just came out in October, I think. That game's really, really fun. I love that game. And Mark of the Wolves. I guess it's Garo Mark of the Wolves, but it's Fatal Fury Mark of the Wolves, and on Dreamcast in America anyway.
Yeah.
I really like that game as well. And so, as you see, all my favorites are 2D fighters. I really like pixel art, and I really like the animation that go into these games.
What do you think of Blaze Blue? Because in addition to Dead or Alive, like, that's where I would also... I like Blaze Blue.
Blaze Blue, I like it. It's somewhere in the middle for me. It's like, I like it a little less than, like, Marvel's Capcom 2, which I like a lot. But I still it's enjoyable. I wish the roster was bigger. Well, I mean, I guess they've been adding some more people, but...
Yeah, they're totally doing, like, the Capcom school of, like, releasing fighting games. Like, I just bought Continuum Shift 2 Extend. I have no idea, like, what that's... how that's different from anything else. I don't... But,
yeah. I think it has, like, all the DLC characters from Continuum Shift and then, like, one extra character, too. I don't know. Something like that.
Sounds about right. But I picked that up. I have the very first one, Calamity Trigger, which is just a cool fucking name. Calamity Trigger? I love that. And then I have Continuum Shift 2, I think, on the 3DS, and then this Continuum Shift 2 Extend. And then I also had the pleasure of playing some Continuum Shift 2 in Tokyo. That was pretty good.
Like at an arcade?
Yeah, yeah. I just rolled through the single player for Noel.
I don't think I've ever seen Blaze Blue at an arcade.
This is... I don't think there are, like, any, like, arcades around here, so... I don't see anything at any arcade.
I guess. I mean, they just shut down an arcade at, like, one of the malls over here, and that's, like, the closest arcade that I've had for a while, so, I mean... there's a Dave & Buster's here, but they don't have a lot of fighting games at all.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like rail shooters at, like, Dave & Buster's. Like, that's... If you want to play House of the Dead, Dave & Buster's, awesome. And that's usually what I play when I go there. I play, like, House of the Dead or whatever.
They have tons of light gun games.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. I need to blow my nose. My allergies are killing me. Sorry.
Oh, that's... Okay, cool.
Mute myself here.
He's muting, and I will carry this session while you're gone. I really don't have anything to say.
You should mention your favorite fighters, Craig.
Well, Dead or Alive and Blaze Blue. I'm trying to think of, like, any ones that I, like, outright dislike. But other than Mortal Kombat, nothing's really coming to mind.
I want to like the Samurai Showdown games, but I'm not very good at them.
I'm not good at them either. They're okay. I don't really have anything against them. There's another... Yeah, that's... Yeah, I guess that's what I was thinking of. Just Samurai Showdown. But yeah, no, I'm okay with those, whatever.
And there's, like, too, like, complicated of fighting games for me. Like, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure... Like, you have your own character, and then you also, like, have a familiar stance for your character, and stuff like that. That's, like, over my head.
I never played that. That's sometimes the danger. Like, it's cool that, like, a game like that would try to do something different. I mean, I've never played it, so I don't know how different it really is. But at the same time, you sort of, like, alienate people, because then, like, you know, when you defy conventions, it's a double-edged sword, you know? You're doing something pretty cool, but at the same time, like, you stand to alienate people that... you know, are comfortable with the genre already.
Yeah. I mean, you could still play. I mean, like, any fighting game, you could still play, but sometimes you could just, like, feel like, oh, I'm not, probably not doing this, like, too right. I'm not too great at this. And then, I don't know, it sort of lessens my enjoyment sometimes.
Yeah, I can understand that. But, anything you'd like to add on the subject of fighting games?
They're fun. I like them. I went through, like, a huge phase, I want to say in the Dreamcast era, where I just, like, started just buying tons of fighting games from everywhere. And then I, like, wanted the best versions of fighting games, too, so I, like, bought a Saturn. It's just so I could buy, like, the correct ports of, like, games like Marvel vs. Capcom, or not Marvel vs. Capcom, Street Fighter versus X-Men and Street Fighter versus Capcom, or whatever the hell those games were. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, I do.
Marvel versus Street Fighter. That was one. But because the PlayStation versions, they didn't have the whole, like, you couldn't switch characters in the fight. Because there wasn't enough, like, RAM in PlayStation. So the Saturn versions had like, really good ports of the arcade games.
Yeah.
But I play them mostly for fun. I don't get too hardcore.
So you're not games. You're not super competitive with them.
No, some of the games, some Smash Brothers, I get very, very, very competitive.
It's weird because I think Smash Brothers, more than any other fighting game I've ever played, just is just conducive for trash talking. Like that game was made for telling your friend to fuck off.
Yep, it sure is. You get four people in there just all beating the shit out of each other. It's fun.
It is very fun. You ever play any of the jump games on the DS?
I have not.
Jump Ultimate Stars, so good, dude. I don't know, I don't read anime, I watch anime or read manga or any of that, but so I don't know who half the fucking dudes are in that game. But man, that game is so good. Jump Ultimate Stars is really, really good. Definitely worth importing.
Yeah, I've been meaning to import that one for
a while.
There's
a really, there are some tutorial, I remember, this is back when I was just, starting to learn Japanese, so, all I could read was, yes or no, and I had no idea what I was agreeing to or disagreeing with, but I could read it. I remember that there was, a menu tutorial on YouTube that walked you through, what the menu options did, and then there's a really, really, in-depth guide on, game FAQs. So, if I highly recommend importing that. It was the first game I can remember, I think, I ever imported. And because of the wealth of information for it, I was never lost. So, and it was great because it's an awesome game. So, I'm glad I didn't get to miss out. So, I highly recommend people check that out. Because that game, man, is just so much fun. Really, really good game. Sort of Smash Brothers-esque. But sometimes there's, missions involved. Sometimes you have to do specific things in a match. And obviously that's where the game FAQ comes into play, and you kind of need that. But really, really good.
It's kind of cool. Actually, King of Fighters 13 has that in arcade mode. It'll be do a special move 5 times, or don't block for the whole match.
This one has more you have to collect stars. There'll be stars around the environment. If you get beat the shit out of, you lose a star, and someone else can pick it up. So
I see.
Or defeat opponents within 30 seconds or something like that. So. It's a bit different, but a lot of fun. A lot of fun. I think I might play that.
And you're playing it who's this Goku guy?
I know who Goku is.
Who's Luffy?
But that one also has sort of a rock, paper, scissors kind of thing to it. There are three different kinds of characters fall into three different categories, and I forget what it is. I want to say humor, drama, or something like that. Depending on what kind of series they come from. And, one's stronger than the other. Like I said, it's a rock, paper, scissors kind of thing. And, sometimes you have characters that sort of, encompass multiple things. You'll have, a character that you'll have, the humor version of a character, but then, the drama version of a character. So, and they have, different movesets.
That's weird, Craig.
And then you have Koma, comic panels that go on the touchscreen, and they fit into, a grid, so you unlock. So you might have all these characters that you don't actually play as them, but you have Koma for them, kind of like trophies in Smash Brothers, and the Koma unlock, special abilities or whatever. So whatever you can fit on the touchscreen in a grid, so definitely some really good stuff there.
Interesting.
But with that said, we can do some listener input if you're all good on this subject.
Yep, I'm done.
So if you want to get involved with the podcast, it's facebook.com/TVandLust. We ask you what you want to say there. Any comments, any questions, and we'll read them on the air. Cliva asks, do you think PC and Macs will get a device similar to the PlayStation Move or the Kinect? PCs are getting – there's a PC version of the Kinect.
Uh-huh.
I think there's an SDK that you can download and use the 360 Kinect on your PC, but I think there's an official PC Kinect that was released, and it's stupid expensive for some reason. So I think that's already a thing. It was more expensive. What?
I'm looking this up. I didn't know that there was.
Or maybe it's not out yet, but it was definitely coming out, and it was I think people were freaking out over the price because it was really expensive. Who do you think would make it and market it? Well, in the case of Kinect, I guess it's Microsoft, but I don't think they're marketing it.
It says it came out February 1st, and it's $250.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot. Maybe it was more than that before, but yeah. Because what is Kinect by itself? It's 150, right?
Let's look this up.
But in terms of PlayStation Move, I don't know. Because, you already have, the mouse. And I think that's typically, motion gestures aside, when it comes to pointing, your mouse already does that. So
But when Amazon says Kinect for 360's MSRP is $200, but they have it for $140.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, $250 is a lot. So I can't see something like PS Move coming to the, I mean, maybe, but, you know, because the pointer functionality is meant to mimic a mouse anyway, I don't see that. But motion controls, I don't know, like a lot of people don't seem really into them, and least of all the hardcore PC set.
Seems like at every, like, electronic show there's, like, some small hardware developer who has a motion controller thing to show off, but, like, they never seem to catch on or anything.
Right, exactly. Because I'm not so sure that audience wants that. Because then Clive falls up and says, do you think it would do well? And no, I don't. I don't think that.
Yeah, probably not. That.
Would you purchase it yourself? Probably not, because I don't game on my computer all that much.
Nah.
Andrew says, I just got a Game Boy Micro. There's no better way to play GBA games. This thing is beautiful. The games look clean and sharp due to the small screen being closer to the native resolution of GBA games. Do you guys like or enjoy using the GB Micro for GBA games? Do you have a Micro?
I've never even played on a Micro.
It's nice. It's nice and convenient, but it's pretty small. It's not terribly comfortable for extended sessions, in my opinion. Nice quick pick up and play, maybe 10-15 minutes, but beyond that, I mean, he's right. I mean, the games do look really, it's very crisp. The screen's small, but the games look very crisp on that screen, but I don't think it's comfortable for extended sessions. And two, has anyone played Layer for the PS3? I picked it up for cheap and heard the motion controls got awful, but were fixed with a late patch. I've never played it.
I didn't have a PS3 when that game first came out. And then by the time I had a PS3, like, everybody was just bashing on the game, so...
Yeah, most people couldn't stand the motion controls. I've never played it, so I don't know. That was, like, the last game. That was Factor 5, wasn't it?
That was Factor 5.
I think that was, like, the last game they did.
That was the last game they did.
And, well, because it was funny, because people were, like, you know, giving it harsh reviews and harsh previews and stuff. And then they released, like, a reviewing guide for it. Like, that was bad. Uh-huh. That was totally, like, just stoking the fire, like, oh, you're totally reviewing our game wrong. Here's the right way to review it. And that was pretty bad. But I heard, yeah, they did patch in, like, traditional controls, like, later on. And I've always thought to myself, yeah, I'll give it a shot, but I've never seen the game. Like, if I saw the game for, like, $5, like, I'm talking, like, a really low barrier of entry.
I haven't seen the game, like, in any stores.
I haven't either. I have not either. But I've thought, like, yeah, if I see it for, like, $5, I see it for, like, really cheap, because I'm not that interested in it. But if it was cheap, I'd be willing to give it a shot, but I've never played it.
Yeah. And then that game killed their whole studio, and then they couldn't make their Star Wars games anymore.
It makes me wonder, like, if, like, it was derided because it had motion controls, just because they were motion controls, not because whether they were bad or good, just because it had motion controls, or whether the motion controls were truly bad. That it makes me wonder.
Most people seem to go out of their way to specify that the motion controls just did not work.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
Because that was pretty early in the PS3's life.
Yeah, it's also hard to trust a lot of mainstream reviewers with motion controls, especially that early.
Yeah, I hate to say that, but I agree with that, too. They seem to just not get it. Like, when I read reviews from a particular outlet, I don't want to name it, but read the reviews, and it has anything to do with, like, motion controls. Like, they just seem to not get it, and I just sort of wonder if, like, are you guys just not coordinated? Do you guys, doesn't seem that
honestly, hard for me. Yeah, I feel like they go out of their way to not get it.
You think so?
Yeah, just so they could, like, hate it.
They just sit on the couch like, fuck this game.
I don't think they, like, want to go, hey, this works. These motion controls actually work. I don't know.
Yeah, I might have to, like, eat crow or something. I don't know. James says, here in the UK, a big topic is that our main retailer, Game, is slowly dying. And I've heard about this. Like, they're not stocking games, and they're canceling pre-orders, and...
Also, massive sales or something.
Yeah, it sounds like a sinking ship.
I keep reading people, like, on Twitter, like, I bought 20 games for, like, £3 each.
I'm like, screw you guys.
Exactly.
Granted, it makes for good deals. Disaster Day of Crisis for $2.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. But it is worrying for multiple reasons. Do you guys see something similar happening with GameStop in the U.S.? Absolutely not. They're sitting on a mountain of money.
Yeah, they're doing great.
Yeah. And how do you think the lack of game-specific retailer could impact the market? I'm not sure how. It might be tougher to get some games, but, I mean, as long as stuff like Amazon, it might hurt, like, Windows shopping.
Mm-hmm.
but I think as long as something like Amazon exists.
I think, like, in a lot of cases, like, even GameStop doesn't have games that Amazon carries. Like, you'll go and be like, oh, we only had, like, one copy of that game because nobody pre-ordered.
And yeah, exactly. And it's like, I don't know. I had this discussion with an employee once, and I hate, like, discussing things like this with employees because they don't know or care, or they get too defensive, one or the other. Uh-huh. And, you know, he's saying, like, oh, well, we're a boutique. And I'm like, that's exactly my point. Like, of all places that should stock video games, it should be a video game store. And he's well, but that's all we sell, so we can't. I mean, I understood his logic at the time, even though it was still stupid logic. Like, I guess he was trying to make the point that, like, because we stock so many games, we can't stock, like, every game. I don't know if I'm conveying myself. Like, it made sense. Like, we carry such a wide variety of games, like, but we have such finite space. I don't know. He made sense, but at the same time, it was still stupid. It's like, if I want a game, like, this is the place I'm going to think of, but now I'll just go to Amazon. See you later.
Yeah. Well, that's what happened to me. I tried to get the CirclePad Pro from there, and they're like, oh, we only had two because only one person ordered.
Why would you sign a deal to be an exclusive retailer and then not fucking carry it in your exclusive retailing? You're
literally the only physical place where you could buy this thing.
Yeah, that was super stupid. That was dumb. Anyway, Azam, he says, what do you guys think about Assassin's Creed thing? Assassin's Creed 3, I think, mashed up like three words into one there. Ubisoft is our new history teacher. Well, I don't know about that, but
it's exactly how the American Revolution played out, Craig. There was a half English, half Mohawk of assassin who ran around and
all those cities in Assassin's Creed 1 were within like 10 minutes, like, traveling distance.
But you had to walk your horse between them.
Oh, I know. He's actually using his horse to go fast. Get him!
Honestly, I think, actually, Assassin's Creed 3 looks interesting to me.
It looks interesting to me, too, because I'm not, like, a super patriotic person. I don't, you know, but I mean, I don't hate America, guys. Like, let me qualify. But, I mean, at the same time, I'm still American, and I think the idea of delving into, like, you know, some of our history, you know, the American Revolution is very interesting. I've always wanted to see a game explore that. And of course, like, no one wants to play, like, people are like, oh, like, no one wants a first person shooter. We reload, like, your musket, like, take 30 seconds to reload that every shot. And I'm like, well, then don't shoot. Like, there could be some more interesting things where, like, you know, you do, like, stealth things and do, like, sabotage missions where you have to, like, go through the woods undetected and things like that. Like, there are definitely some cool gameplay opportunities in that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's cool that Assassin's Creed's doing that, but Assassin's Creed.
They might be fixing stuff. I don't know.
And yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. I can't say I'd give it the benefit of the doubt because I really haven't dug other Assassin's Creed stuff too much. But it could be different, you know? I mean, maybe they're doing a different approach to the gameplay altogether. Because, like, a lot of people pointed out, like, there's not a whole lot of things to climb on in, like, Philadelphia or Boston or anything back then. So
yeah.
Maybe there's going to be a different approach to gameplay altogether, and I'd be interested in seeing. I mean, I am interested in seeing what they're doing.
I mean, you know, like, a lot of the screenshots are showing, like, forest and snow areas and stuff like that.
This is true. So, I mean, I'd be interested in seeing what they're doing.
Yep.
Azam also follows up with, man, Azam, you got to use some periods or something, man. I can't read these big blocks of text.
He has apostrophes in there.
Okay.
So, yes. I mean, Azam, I know you know what punctuation is, because I've seen apostrophe right in can't. You just need to use those periods, too, dude.
Periods, maybe some capitalization. I could live without the capitalization, but the periods. Because this is like one long, there isn't a single period in here. Well, I still can't move too much because of open heart surgery, which sucks. Hope you'll get better. But I have been playing a fuck ton of Battlefield 3. Fucking loving that game. Just started Mass Effect 3. I really like that game. I finished Resident Evil Revelations. Really good game. And I've been playing Xenoblade Chronicles. I've had that game sealed ever since I imported and loved that game. Probably one of my favorite RPGs. I've also been playing Last Story, which I love as well. I think that the Last Story is a modernized version of Final Fantasy 13. It's very similar, but so much better. I can see the comparisons between 13 and Last Story because of the linearity. Although I think that Last Story completely blows it away. And because of Seth, I just got all four Yakuza games. Because of Seth? No, you mean because of Craig.
No, because I bought them because of you. You didn't buy them because of Ukraine. I bought them because
no,
of Ukraine.
No, the root cause of all this is me. No. I am the fucking Yakuza kingpin.
Stop stealing credit.
I am the Yakuza kingpin. I haven't played them yet, but I also got Binary Domain, which I haven't started yet. Yes, I have bought and played a fuck ton of games. I guess so. Have you played Binary Domain yet, Seth? Because you were sort of interested in that, right?
Yeah, I think I'm going to wait for a price drop on that one.
Yeah, that seems like a game that will drop. I impulse bought it, and I don't regret it because I really enjoyed it, but that seems like a kind of game that will drop in price pretty quickly. David asks, if you had to pick a Mario Party to play, which would it be and why? I don't know.
I've only played one Mario Party ever. It was on GameCube, so like 6 or 7, I guess, I played. I don't know.
The one party where Mario dances with lampshade on his head and Peach is on the kitchen table.
Huh. You don't know.
It was painfully unfunny. But that's Mario Party in a nutshell. They're painfully unfun.
A lot of people... Let's see.
I know people enjoy them.
A lot. People like 2 a lot. I know that.
Are there really that many differences between them? Like, they're basically the same thing with just, like, variations on the minigames.
I'm pretty sure the way the board games play out is different in some of them.
I guess that's true, too. The one I've played most is the one on DS. But, I mean, I have played the others, and they get really tedious. And I think more than Smash Brothers, more than Mario Kart, like that, those are the games where, like, because any lead you have is not very strong. Like, the games are designed so, like, most of the time you don't really have, like, these really strong leads. You know, there's not enough turns. And, unless you want to play for, like, forever. There's not enough turns to gain a strong lead. And any random shit, like Bowser comes by and goes, I'm taking all your fucking stars. And you're like, cool, there goes an hour of my life. For no good reason. And now someone else is in first. And then you have like 2 turns left and not nearly enough to come back. So you spend this entire game gaining like your really like weak lead. And then it's taken away and you have 0 time to gain it back.
I don't know. I won the one time I played, so... I think the games are completely fair.
Basing it on that.
Yeah.
I mean, to answer the question, I don't know, because I don't have enough experience with the series to say. But the DS version was okay, I guess. John says, do you have any good arcade stories or some particularly good experiences in arcade? I remember for my birthday 1 year, some friends and I played and beat House of the Dead 2. We took turns after dying, and the Spider-Man arcade beat 'em up. But now that arcade is gone, has been replaced with a Weeaboo store. Oh. Also, is that an offensive term? I don't know. I use Weeaboo. I don't mean it offensively. I just use it to describe a particular thing. People know what Weeaboo means, so I don't mean it offensively.
I have Weeaboo tendencies. I'm not gonna lie.
I have some too. I don't think I really have. I mean, I've had fun in arcades. Like I remember one time that going through, I think it was like the Simpsons game. All 4 of us playing it were complete strangers, and we had a great time. Just 4 strangers putting in that into that machine, and that was really fun. I'm trying to think. I mean, I have fun when I go to like Dave and Buster's. Like, I like the light gun games there, so I mean, I have fun with that. I go with a friend, and we kill some zombies and play Time Crisis. That's good too. And checking out, just walking through an arcade in Japan. Is pretty cool. Some of them are like multi floors, and there's just all kinds of cool stuff in there. Stuff that I'll never make it out here. So that's pretty cool. What about you?
I actually have a really good memory of an arcade. See, it was a side scrolling 3D beat 'em up, and it looked like it was like on the Naomi hardware because it looked like a Dreamcast game, but I have no idea what the game was. And my friend and I were playing it co op, and all his buttons worked fine. But I can only move forward and jump, and we still played through this whole game. Because if you hit jump again while you're in the air, that was a jump kick move. So I had to like, just go forward jump kicking through this entire game. And nice. It was actually really fun.
That's funny.
Yep.
Oni, I don't know how to pronounce this. I'm sorry. First, I apologize, it's been asked before. You guys seem to buy a lot of portable games, so it got me wondering, do you play them in public?
I have, but, like, it's not something I do regularly.
Yeah, me neither. And not because of any, like, fear, like, any, like, stigma or anything like that. It's just not really, like, I don't take public transportation.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
I'm not usually sitting around someplace in public. I brought my Game Boy Advance to, like, jury duty. I was just, like, sitting in the jury duty room playing my GBA while everybody else was doing Bourne stuff.
I mean, I'll play it at my downtime at work, if that counts, or I'll play it at the airport or on a plane.
Oh, yeah, that's always good. Airport's good.
Yeah, so, I mean, I play it in public, but not. I'm rarely in a position to do so. If so, have you ever gotten weird stares while playing, and how'd you feel about them? No.
I don't think so, no.
I can't help but feel slightly annoyed when others are giggling at me for pulling out a handheld console while they're playing away on their iPhone. Well, if that happens, that is kind of stupid.
There's not really much of a difference.
Because it has to do with social acceptability. Like, that doesn't make it right, don't get me wrong, but it's socially acceptable to fuck around on your phone. It's not socially acceptable, like, bam, I'm playing Tetris on my, Game Boy Advance or whatever. So, they're not.
Just know that you're probably having a more fun experience with your buttons.
That's probably true. You're not sliding your finger all over a slab of glass. I thought the whole video games are for kids thing was over, but I run into this daily. As a child, people would find it funny because it wasn't a girly thing for me to do. Now it's not mature enough. Just can't win. You think iPhone games would make people think differently about gaming? You would think. You would think.
All right. They're playing video games too. What the hell's the difference?
Yeah. Because I don't know if I've talked about this before in the podcast, but I think it's a matter of how games are approached. Like, if you're playing on a dedicated console, that makes the suggestion that you take games more seriously than the person who's just fucking off on their phone. And they don't see it as anything serious. They see it as just time-wasting, whereas someone who's actually gone out and bought a dedicated console clearly has more invested in it. And, like, you're taking your hobby seriously. Like, that's funny, apparently, to some people. I think that doesn't make it right. I don't agree with it. Don't get me wrong, but I think that's probably the line of thinking.
Oh, those people are idiots.
Probably true.
Just ignore idiots.
Just yeah, exactly. Like, whatever. You're having fun. Like, what is it? What is yeah? Fuck them.
Uh-huh.
Keep up the fantastic work with the podcast. Thank you. You're a great team. Sorry for the wall of text. That's okay, because I had punctuation, so...
And, like separate paragraphs. Yeah, that was, like, really good. That was not a wall of text at all.
Yeah, I can read that, so it's okay.
Azam, take this, like, post as an example. This is what you want to strive for right here.
We appreciate the input. I just want to be able to read it better. A little easier on my eyes.
Uh-huh.
Idio says, many mainstream gaming news sites have been reporting some interesting speculations lately. Some seem intuitive, others seem pretty unlikely, though stranger things have happened. Things like, will the latest Microsoft console dump physical media in favor of digital distribution and be announced in 2013? I don't, the digital distribution is like, the collector in me is like, no. But like the gamer in me is like really not that perturbed by that. But the biggest problem with that, the hurdle with that is like, one, not everyone has access to broadband, and two, even people who do, have data caps or slow speeds. And my understanding is much of the westernized world has like data caps and stuff, where like then they just slow your speed to like nothing once you hit it. And like that's not something I have to deal with. I mean, I'm sure somewhere in my contract there's some throttling if I hit some super high number, but. I never did. It's not standard practice, so I don't have to deal with that. But much of the world does. And if that becomes standard, like, I can't see digital distribution being a very worthwhile method.
And from what I understand, retail sales are, like, far and large, like, a much bigger percentage of sales.
Unfortunately, it just comes back to control. They want to control your game. They already control a lot with... I mean, more than you think they do with, like, Xbox Live and, like, PSN, like these services. And now they just want to control the distribution and control how you can play your game. I mean, that's what it's all about. Like, whether it's on a disc or whether it's on your hard drive is completely immaterial. I know it makes people feel better that you have it on a shiny disc rather than your hard drive. But at the end of the day, if they want to they can see what you're playing. They see people playing games early and... You know, if you're playing a pirated game, you're disconnected, you're banned from Xbox Live. Like, they already monitor what you do. Whether it's on disc or whether it's on hard drive, doesn't matter. That's a complete red herring. No,
you could still play your game offline.
Well, I guess that's true, but then you don't have access to patches or online multiplayer. Like, That's a good point, but I mean, online's been sort of dressed up as like, I mean, they really incentivized you being connected, and you can't. It's really hard to get away from that, I think. Is Valve working on what some are speculating as a Steam console? I think they've denied that. There was a lot of reports on that, but I think that they've so far denied that. A Steam console is called a PC, and you can put those together for pretty much. The next generation of gaming consoles becoming less gamer-centric in favor of more total entertainment delivery approach? And I think that's already happened. I mean, I watch Netflix on my 360. I watch Blu-rays on my PS3. Like, I think that's already a thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think Nintendo, like, even Nintendo probably has the most video game-centric consoles still. They have, like, Netflix and...
Yep.
Isn't Hulu Plus announced for Wii now, too, or something? I don't know.
I don't know, maybe. I don't know. Is anything being announced for Wii anymore? Ba-dum-tsh.
Let's see.
But, I mean, some of that I'm okay with, but some of it, like, I'm not interested in having, like, a multimedia hub. I just make good games, and I'll buy your platform and play them on there.
Hulu Plus is on Wii.
Oh, there you go. If not mentioned above, has been one of the most unlikely speculations in your opinion? Steam console, but that's already been denied. I'm very skeptical of dumping digital media completely on the next Microsoft console. I am skeptical of that.
I don't think it's going to happen.
If it's going to be a dedicated gaming platform, or at least mostly a gaming platform with some, you know, multimedia stuff like we already have. Because, I mean, Steam thrives on that, but that's because it's on a computer, and computers are basically designed to be connected to the internet. I guess, you know, consoles are too. Like I just said, they're incentivized to be connected, but when you have that much data going back and forth, people are going to hit their caps. I mean, like I said, some people aren't even connected at all. I mean, you also have to consider, like, you know, we have a lot of, you know, American soldiers overseas, and they have spotty connections at best. Like, are they even going to be able to play their games? So
I also think people are more comfortable with the digital items on the PC, because like when you upgrade your PC, your new PC will still play those.
There's
old
a lot
games.
Of standardized stuff there, right? Yeah, exactly. And then this comes back to the control they want to exert over you. And I've heard some people having to jump through hoops with like Mass Effect 3 because of this hard drive having to be moved to that computer, to this 360, and like there's a cloud save here, and like they can't get to EA's servers to authenticate their DLC. Like there's been some clusterfucks going on, and it's because they want such fucking, you know, vice grip over how you play your games. And this kind of shit happens. And, yeah, you know, we're not completely ready for this yet, clearly. But, I mean, maybe that won't stop them. Whether we're ready or not, maybe that won't stop them. But I'm skeptical of it because I don't think that we are.
You know, personally, I probably would not buy a console that's digital distribution only.
I stop short. I would really have to think about it because there are just too many caveats there. Like, yeah. In essence, I don't mind downloading games. I do it on my iPhone. I do it on my 3DS. I do it on my 360. I do it all the time. And I love to collect games, but I would get over it. It's just, I mean, like when I hear people like playing Mass Effect 3 and going, like, I can't import my save because EA's servers can't authenticate the stuff I've done with DLC, I go, well, fuck that then. Fuck digital distribution in the ass.
It needs to be a lot more user-friendly.
Absolutely. Also, I have to be honest, with games like Mass Effect 3, Assassin's Creed 3, Bioshock Infinite, Borderlands 2, and the like coming out this year still, I don't find myself pining as much for the next generation of consoles as I have in the past. Me neither. I'm pretty cool. I could use a new Wii, and I'm glad one's coming out, but as far as the 360 and PS3 go, I'm not chomping at the bit.
Yeah, there's still a lot of good games coming out, and honestly, I think the graphics are fine. I know a lot of like people who are super into graphics are going to yell at me.
Yeah,
but I honestly think the games still look good, and they're like looking better.
Yeah, the PC master race doesn't like consoles because they think consoles hold back the PC releases, but that's really the developers holding back. I mean, if developers wanted to spruce up their PC releases and make them more suited for PC, they could do that. I think they elect not to because it's cheaper. And because the audience, whether they like it or not, is more on consoles. And that's why games are geared that way. Keep up the great work. Love the site. Love the show. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Eduardo says, what is the first place that you visit every time you go to Japan? My family lives in Sapporo, so I go to the house. After that, I go to Hardoff. I go to the hotel. Nah, I mean, really, like, it takes, like, 2 days to fucking get there, and then it's, like, 2 hours from, like, Narita to fucking Tokyo. Not really. I think if you're more direct, we take, like, there's, like, this, it's called, like, limousine bus. It's, like, this shuttle service that goes to, like, certain hotels from the airport. So that's what we take, and you have to stop all these fucking hotels. You're like, I'm so tired. I want to take a shower. I'm gross. And I want to get to the hotel. And we stay at this place that's right by Tokyo Tower. It's right by Shiba Park in Minato. And that's, I guess that's technically the first place we go. But I'm trying to think where we first went. I think the last full day we were there, we went to Akiba because that was my birthday. So I'm like, fuck this. Let's go get some games. Happy birthday to me.
Go to your little nerd center.
Yeah. And the time before that, I think we went to Tokyo Tower first. Because it's, like, right there. Like, you turn the corner, like, hi, Tokyo Tower.
So. That's the... Nah, never mind. Go ahead.
I mean, there's not really anywhere in particular I go first other than the hotel, so... And then I wake up in the morning, I go to the hotel gift shop and eat some gift shop bread.
Is that a thing? They sell, like, bread in gift shops?
Yeah, the gift shop is, like, almost like a gift shop slash convenience store. It's a very classy hotel. And they have, like, these, like, fresh-baked, like, baked goods. And that's what we eat for breakfast because they're so cheap. And it's like, well, I'm not going to go out and pay, like, a million fucking yen for breakfast. So I'm just going to eat this. And
a million yen, by the way, is about $5
US. $5. But no, we would eat these gift shop breads that are so fucking good. Like, some of them were, like, savory. Like, they had, like, these breads that had, like, curry baked into them.
And, I hate curry.
Oh, my God, it was so delicious. You have no idea. Oh my God, I'm going to miss this fucking curry bread. They have some that had, like red bean paste baked into it. So it was, like, this sweet bean paste. So good. Mm-hmm. Like, melon flavored. Everything's fucking melon flavored. They don't have menthol cigarettes. They have melon flavored cigarettes over there. Everything's fucking melon. And so we would have gift shop bread. So that
sounds delicious.
You know, believe it or not, it is. Things taste different over there. Over here, we tend to put a lot more sugar and or salt into things than are necessary. And I find that when you do that, you don't really taste the food. You taste the sugar or the salt.
Uh-huh.
And that's not as common over there.
Actually, I get, like, some pastries down in Mexico, too, and they're, like, they're not super sweet. They're, like, just, like, barely sweetened, but it's, like, so good.
Yeah, because you taste, like, the food. You're not just, you know. Yeah,
exactly.
It's good. Brandon has a few things here. He says, any good PS2 recommendations? Shadow of the Colossus is the only standout game that I own.
Yakuza
series. Ratchet and Clank games are pretty good, and I like the first Jak and Daxter. I mean, those are pretty common recommendations. Yeah. One of my favorite PS2 games is Draken, the Agents' Gates. And, like, people have heard of this game, love it, but a lot of people haven't. And, like, it's, like, this weird cross between, like, Zelda and, like, Tomb Raider and Dungeons & Dragons. And you get to ride a fucking dragon, like, burn shit. The game is really, really cool. I highly recommend it. I really enjoy that game. And, of course, Persona 3. That's a fantastic game.
Yakuza.
There you go.
Get Rez too. Actually, if you don't have Xbox Live Arcade, then get Rez on PS2.
Yeah, you got Rez there. He also follows up with, why is it when you transport something by car, it's called a shipment, but when you transport by ship, it's called cargo?
I thought they were, like, interchangeable. I don't know.
Technically they are interchangeable. I think he's just being a smartass. I don't have an answer for you, but I think they are interchangeable. Christopher says, just adding to James Reed's comment, Game has shut down their retail outlets here in Denmark, and now only sells through their web shop. It's sad, so I hope the same doesn't happen in the UK, so GameStop still has some competition. That's one thing we don't really have here, because GameStop just either A, bought everything, or B, put it out of business. Like, GameStop is, I think, literally the only game boutique we have here.
I think they, like, let's see, it was like EB Games, Software Etc., and Planet X all became GameStop.
And Funko Land.
And Funko Land. Funko Land was... All right. And then I think Game Crazy just went out of business.
Yeah, I think, yeah. Pretty much just edged them out. I mean, here and there you can find some mom-and-pop shops. Not too many in my area, but they do exist. But GameStop, I think, is the only chain video game retailer here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. They dominated.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have things like Play and Trade and stuff, too, I guess.
I don't know what that is.
It's like, I think it's like GameStop, but I think it also does like older games too, so you can do like NES and stuff, and you can trade in games and buy them. And...
Yeah, see if there's any near me.
I think the closest one to me is probably about 45 minutes to an hour away. I've always wanted to go, but I just never had the time. Rusty says, I recently received a PS3 as a gift from a friend. I know you guys have discussed PS3 games in the past, but you could you guys perhaps recommend me 5 exclusives for the system that I should get? So should we go Yakuza again? Is that... Do you want to...
Yakuza. Yeah, just get Yakuza, whatever. Get I haven't played any of the PS3 ones yet, but Yakuza.
They're good. Yakuza 3 is probably my favorite. That's really good. I like Folklore. Like, Rusty actually recently picked up Majin in the Forsaken Kingdom, and if you're liking that... That developer, which no longer exists, Game Republic, also made a very early PS3 game called Folklore. And I love Folklore. I think it's a really unique game. I mean, it has, you know, some issues, you know, some quirks, as a lot of games that I tend to enjoy do. But it's got some really unique ideas. And it's like this action RPG, and you just gank, like, these souls... from, like, your enemies. And you can then use them... You can assign them to, like, face buttons and then use, like... their abilities in combat, because you yourself really don't fight. And the boss for each world, as you're progressing through the world, you find these pages to, like, this book. And through, like pictograms, it shows you how to defeat the boss, like, what souls you need to use in what order under what circumstance. Like, it doesn't actually spell it out. You have to look at the pictures and sort of piece it together with the pages yourself, get the appropriate souls, and then tackle the boss. So it's almost like sort of like a puzzle as well that you have to piece together. It's a really cool game. I like it a lot. And
I like Uncharted.
Uncharted 2 is good. And 3D Dot Game Heroes.
It's good. Ratchet and Clank.
Ratchet and Clank. I prefer Tools of Destruction myself. I think that's the better one, but I don't think you can go wrong really with either.
What else? How many have we named? You know, I enjoyed Heavy Rain for what it was, for most of the time.
Okay. I got nothing.
I mean, for what it is, it's mostly story-based with you pushing buttons in really, like, uncomfortable positions. But, I don't know, it's kind of interesting.
All right. So Heavy Rain, maybe.
Maybe. Really reminds me of, like, an updated, like, those old FMV games.
Yeah, that's the impression I got too. I've never played it, but I have very little interest, and I think the dude from Quantic Dream's kind of a dick, so
he's totally a dick. But yeah.
Okay.
I don't think he's on Phil Fish level of dickery though.
Maybe not. So there you go. There's some exclusives there. Lewis says, if you guys can get to this question, this is Precision 25, by the way, Craig. Yeah, I know your name, dude. It's cool. What are you guys' favorite Game Boy, Game Boy Color, and Game Boy Advance games? Also, which system of those did you like best? There's a Game Boy Color game called Shantae, which goes boxed for over $200. It's pretty ridiculous, if you ask me, but for a collector, it could be interesting. You actually own Shantae, don't you?
Dude, I bought a brand new box copy for $60.
Yeah, yeah. I want Shantae, but awesome. Yeah, you are. Awesome.
Shantae's fun, but it's like. Very tedious to traverse the overworld because it's a completely side-scrolling game.
Yeah, and that's the same thing with like Shantae on like the DSiWare or whatever.
All right, the locations are very far apart, and you don't always know exactly where you're going.
And you're jumping between planes. Yeah, like it's kind of. Do you jump between planes in the first Shantae?
No plane jumping.
Okay, see in the second one you have plane jumping, which I think makes it even more awkward because you can only plane jump at certain points and. And that factors into the exploration or puzzle elements, and you're like, how do I get over there? Well, I'll plane jump from here to there to there, from back here to then to there, and then it's like, ugh. Mm. When it comes to the original Game Boy, I really don't have that many, like, favorite games. Like, I guess. I've been playing that. I played. Talked about that Henkyo Alien. I talked about that one, and I would say already that's probably at the top. Probably pretty close to the top of my list.
I think my favorite Game Boy game is Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong 94 is so good.
It's really good.
Link's Awakening.
I like the Game Boy Color version better.
Okay, fair enough. But even the Game Boy Color version is technically a dual type. You could play that.
Yeah.
And what was I thinking? I just had it on top of my head, but you said something, and now I'm all fucked up. Mario 2. Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins. I like that a lot.
Meh.
Okay.
Kirby's Dream Land 2 is really damn good.
I never played that. I played the first one, but I never played the second one.
And the second one blows. Well, the second one's like, I think that one came after.
Well, the first one you can beat in like 15 minutes. It's like
the world's
smallest game. It's good, but it's just super short and simple.
The second one's like, I think even expanded over the NES game.
Cool. That's pretty cool. Game Boy Color, in particular, Metal Gear Solid is a good one. And
Greg, just say Magi Nation.
Magi Nation?
There we go.
You know where I was going with this Magi Nation? I'm trying to.
I like the Oracle games, the Zelda Oracle games.
Those are okay.
No, they're good.
They're okay.
Oh, on the original Game Boy 2, Metroid 2 is actually enjoyable.
Metroid 2 is way better than the first one.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit different. Like, you actually are, almost sort of like you are a bounty hunter in that one. Like, you really are, like, hunting bounties. Like, you're just trying to exterminate these Metroids.
Yep. Gotta wipe those things out.
Yep. Can't really think of too much more on the Game Boy Color. Like, the Bionic Command is okay. It's gonna sound sacrilegious, but I like Crystalis. A lot of people don't. They think that port was completely butchered, but really only a few things were changed.
I don't have that many Game Boy and Game Boy Color games.
Yeah, nah, me neither. Game Boy Advance, he asked which one is our favorite. I would say the Game Boy Advance is one I like the best.
Yeah, GBA is my favorite.
And that just opens up.
Of those three.
We did a whole show on that, but I mean, you know, Minish Cap is great. And Drill
Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga.
Mario and Luigi. Final Fantasy VI is on there. Final Fantasy Tactics Advance is awesome. So it's just...
Mega Man Zero games are good.
So many great games on the
Game Boy. There's tons of
Metal Slug. The Metal Slug Advance is great. Sega did some good stuff on there, too. Like, you got, like, Astro Boy. Treasure developed that. I think Sega published it. You have... I don't know if it's Advance Guardian Heroes or Guardian Advance Heroes or whatever, because the logo's a little weird. You also have Gunstar Superheroes and that stuff. Or Advance Gunstar Heroes or whatever. I don't know. But
Gunstar Superheroes.
Is that what it is? Okay. That's, so those are on there, and those are good too. So,
and the Castlevania games are good.
I stopped after the first one. I was like, I can't see a damn thing in this game. Fuck this! And I never played any other ones.
Actually, I think I only played the first one.
Yeah,
but yeah, I played it on my TV on the Game Boy Player. So.
Oh, see, no, I got it like when it first came out, and I'm like, everything's dark.
Klonoa 2 on GBA, really fun puzzle platformer.
There you go. And Silver Mongoose, final question, says, hidden gems for the Game Boy Color. I emphasize the hidden. Legends of the Hidden Temple?
Craig, just say Magi Nation.
But is that really hidden anymore? Because I say it all the time. So, like, anyone who listens to this podcast doesn't think that's a hidden gem.
I don't know. I don't have...
There aren't that many Game Boy Color, like, dedicated games, I don't think. And certainly not ones I would consider hidden. But, I mean, I guess Magi Nation is the only one I can think of.
I don't have that many Game Boy Color games and none that are hidden, so...
Yeah, exactly. So, if you listen to this podcast for a while, you know I love Magi Nation. You know I think it's a terrific Game Boy Color game. There's a review on the site if you want to read it. But yeah, it's awesome. I think it's hitting the... Like, there's nothing on this game. Like, no one reviewed it when it came out.
I've seen, like, one review on the game on, like, some fan RPG site or something. Yeah,
exactly. Like, you know, IGN, Game Informer. No one reviewed it, so... That's probably why it's a bit hidden, but you can find it on eBay, and it's a great game.
It's actually not expensive either.
No, I think you can get a box for like $30. I mean, it held its value, but like it's not expensive.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a box copy, and I remember I did not pay a lot for it. I don't remember how much, but it was not a lot at all.
Yeah, it's very, very fairly priced, and the battles are a bit slow. I think that's the only like real complaint. Like, they kind of drag. But everything about it, like, the writing's really well done.
And the world's pretty fun that it takes place in.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really cool. And that's it for questions. So let's talk a little bit about games we've been playing lately. And you want to start us off?
Sure. I haven't been playing too much. Well, I've been playing a lot of Rhythm Heaven on DS.
Yeah, you were tweeting about like the medals and stuff you've gotten.
Yeah, when I first started playing the game, I sort of hated it. I was like, why is this? Why do I have to play this book style? And why is everything touch-based? And I don't know. I was not digging it. But then the more I played it, I went, all right, this is kind of fun. Like, the touch, there's a lot of different ways to play with the touch screen. I mean, like, there's just tapping, and then there's tapping and holding, and then there's tapping, holding, and flinging.
Yeah, I mean, so, fling, yeah.
Yeah, so it actually brings, like, more variety to than just the button presses in the Game Boy Advance game. So I actually sort of started to dig it, and I just started getting better at the games, and I don't know. I think I like it a lot more than the Game Boy game now. But yeah, I've got a medal on every single level in the game, and I'm up to like 24 perfects, 2 out of 50.
Man, look at you go!
I'm on this thing, but there have been times where there's one that I'm really bad at. One of the mini games, it's like you beat a drum. Like first somebody, like the computer beats a drum, and then you have to like mimic their drum beats. And I'm horrible at this. I actually cleared it all the way to the end, and then on the very last, like, tap, I screwed it up.
And oh, no.
I lost my wanted to throw my DS. You don't even know.
That sucks.
It's, yeah. God. And then, like, even some of the games are weird, too. Like, there's a game called Lockstep on there where, like, first you have to keep the beat. But then, like, you have to switch and you have to keep the non-beat, which makes no sense to me. Like, how do you follow the no beat? I mean, there's still a beat there, but you have to not follow it. Which, actually, Craig, you'll probably be really good at.
I can do nothing like the best of them.
But no, I like it. I like it a lot. And let's see, what else I played? I played Rhythm Heaven Fever over at a friend's house. And that one's all right. I mean, it's just all A and B presses on the Wii remote.
I might be able to handle this. Maybe not.
Maybe. I mean, I think a lot of the games are a lot simpler to play than the DS one. But we play through that. We were taking turns, my friends and I, because, I mean, there's a multiplayer mode in it, but it's only like some of the mini games have the multiplayer mode, not all of them.
Yeah.
And it's like in a whole separate category or something, so it's not really set up that much for multiplayer. But honestly, the reason we got it is because we're just watching that this guy thing on YouTube over and over. And then one of my friends said, what game is it? I'm like, Rhythm Heaven. He's like, huh, maybe I'll buy that when I stop by work. And then he did. So just played that.
Cool.
Yep. I also played some Puzzle Bobble Neo on Xbox Live Arcade. Just played that drunkenly for, I don't even know what's going on with that game. And I think that's it, honestly. I'm really just playing tons of Rhythm Heaven DS. It's really addicting trying to go after those perfects. And after you, because, like, when you play the game, like, the more medals you get, the faster chances for perfects appear. And once you get all 50 medals, then just, like, every single time you have a chance for a perfect. It's still on a random game, but every time you finish a game, you have a chance for a perfect.
Interesting.
And I've been just trying to go after those.
I'm just so shitty at that game. The game's like, you want to skip this level? I'm like, yeah, okay.
I haven't even been offered to skip a level. I mean, how many times do you have to fail before you're offered to skip?
I think it's like 10.
Oh, God, Craig.
Yeah. Don't make fun of me.
I don't have to. It just speaks for itself.
Yeah, it probably does. It's fine.
What have you been playing?
I haven't been playing too much either. At least not too much too seriously. I've been playing... I got a code for Shoot Mini Robots from Andreas at onpause.org. He was given two codes to test out the multiplayer co-op for review. Uh-huh. It's technically embargoed. Like, I'm not embargoed. I didn't agree to anything. But, I mean, I'll play ball anyway, so I won't talk about it too much. I will just say I did play it last year at PAX East. I liked it last year at PAX East, and my feelings probably haven't changed. So... Well, I'll just say that. I think that comes out this week on Xbox Live Arcade. I don't know if it's on PSN as well. I don't see why not, but I don't know. Ubisoft. What's up?
I remember you posted a video for this a while ago. It's a running gun game, right?
It's a running gun game, not too dissimilar from like something like Metal Slug or whatever. But there's some customization, like you level up and you earn like bolts or whatever to like equip the purchase new equipment, like a shirt, pants, hat, and guns, and you can carry two guns at a time. And like these affect different stats, like, you know, your health or like how many beers you can hold. Like there's like foam dome hats. So like you regain health by chugging a beer.
And just like in real life.
Just exactly. And foam dome hats like allow you to like carry like more beer. So, well, one thing I did find interesting about the retail game is that you can purchase bolts with like real points.
But it's one of those.
Well, here's the thing. Number one, everything can be unlocked in-game. Mm-hmm. Number two, you may have the bolts for it, but you still have to be at a certain level to equip it. So you can't just, like, pump real money into it and be like this character.
That's weird. I mean, if you're going to be spending real money on it, I think you might as well.
Well, I think it just cuts back on the grinding is what it does. I mean, and let's be honest. I mean, who doesn't have, like, 80 points or whatever, like, left over here and there? I mean, I don't think it's... In this particular instance, I don't think it's that bad of a thing. I mean, everything can be unlocked through the main game. It's just like you're just paying to like cut down on the grinding is what you're doing. And you still have to be a certain level to unlock it.
What was that RPG on Xbox that you could like pay to like level up your character?
I don't know, but that's really bad. Like, hey, whatever. I mean, whatever you want to do. And this is fine here because like this is not a – I don't think there are any competitive modes. I think it's just co-op. So it's not like – like, I paid all this money to get all these great things, now I'm going to kick your ass, so... but, yeah, that's... I mean, whatever you want to do in your single-player game, you want to pay more money to get, you know, to, like, skip over levels, that's your business, it's not mine. I don't care. That's still very strange, though.
Somebody... I can't remember who it was on my Twitter feed. It was one of our listeners or readers or whatever we do. But they, like, posted a picture that was like, this generation's cheat codes, and was like, would you like to purchase blah, blah, blah? Or to level up your characters, so.
Yeah.
Sort of reminds me of that.
Yeah, a little bit. I can understand that. let's see what else I've been playing. I still haven't finished Resident Evil Revelations, which is, like, really bad, because, like, it's probably one of my favorite games that's been released so far this year. And even though, it's like, it's not a super tense game, I still get tense playing it, because just games that have scary elements, like, just drain me more, so I have to play it in shorter bursts. I mean, I'm almost done. I think there are 12 episodes, and I'm on like episode like 10 or 11. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty close to being done, and I really enjoy that game. The game is so awesome.
Did you finish it? No, I haven't played it since last week. I'm telling you, I've been playing like hours of Rhythm Heaven.
I guess so. And I'm almost done with Wipeout 2048, and that game gets stupid hard. Like, it's just so brutally difficult. I don't even think I can finish that game. I don't think I'm going to be good enough. I'll give it the old college try, but I'm almost done. And, I've been trying to shoot for some high scores in Super Stardust Delta and Luminous, and I'm getting better. This one session on Luminous, I just doubled my previous high score, and that felt pretty good, but that's still only like 200 some odd thousand, you know.
So, did you watch YouTube videos to figure out if you're even playing it right?
No, yeah, I did. I mean, I'm still not that great. I mean, even though you know what you need to do, it doesn't mean you can do it. So that's
what the
problem is, I guess. And but I mean, I got better, and I did get a higher score, so that's good. It's progress. And I did get a higher score in Super Stardust Delta, even though I'm still behind other people. But it's progress. I love these leaderboards. I was just being able to see, like, someone's still kicking my ass. what else did I play? I played more Uncharted 3. And I want to say probably about halfway through that, a little more than halfway. And at first I was playing it, I'm like, yeah, you know, this is pretty good. You know, Uncharted games I've come to accept, they're an amusement park ride, you know. They can be fun if you're on board, but if you're not interested in roller coasters, if you don't like roller coasters, it's probably not going to appeal to you, and that's fine. But the more I play this game, the more I feel like it tries too hard to top 2 in the same ways that 2 is good, rather than trying to do new things that are new and different and also good. It's trying to do the same exact thing that 2 did, but do them better. And I don't think you can do that, because I think 2 was the peak of what 2 tried to do, if that makes sense.
Sort of, yeah.
Okay.
I'll give it to you.
Like, one thing I think that Uncharted 3 fails at is communicating to the player, like, where you need to go. Particularly, like, in chase sequences. Like, you really want me to get from point A to point B, like, really fast. You need to better you need to have better, like, geometry, better lines to guide me there. You need to have better camera angles to guide me there. And sometimes the game does that. Like, sometimes it has these very subtle camera angles, camera shifts, and you're like, okay, like, I can play with this, and I need to get over there, that's fine. Other times it's just like you have this super detailed world that's designed to mimic real life, and you're like, why is this vase? Why is this fucking potted plant in my way? There's no reason. It's just there because it looks real, but it like really sort of hinders gameplay. Like I can't figure out where I'm supposed to go because there's too much visual noise going on. And then the game doesn't really help you overcome all that noise. I think this really like was just came to a full force for me so far in the have you played the game?
No, I haven't played 3.
There is a ship graveyard. It's a beautiful area because there's so much detail. There's so many like rusted, hulking, huge ships. It's really detailed, really nice to look at. But I can't make heads. It's when you're looking at it, so much, like I said, visual noise. There's so much shit in there.
This sounds like some of the racetracks on Mario or Sonic All-Stars Racing. Like some of the levels are just like full of stuff, and I'm like, where the fuck's the track?
Yeah. It's a lot like that. Like in this particular area, you're supposed to sneak by because first of all, it jumps you in the area with like no weapons. You have no weapons, and there's a fuck ton of guys, and you're supposed to sneak by them. And I can't. Everything's full of like rusted like ship parts, and I can't see the guys from the ship parts. So I think I'm doing it like, oh, I'm getting pretty far sneaking by. And like, all of a sudden, some guy who blended in with the fucking ship is like, hey, here he is. Fuck you, man. And then you're shooting at buoys because you shoot at anything that moves because you can't tell the difference between anything. Like, I shot at a buoy for like 30 seconds.
This Nathan Drake needs some glasses or something.
And the waves, the physics, screw with your aiming, which is an interesting experiment in gaming, and I can respect it in an experimental level, but in practice, it makes it fucking hard to shoot these guys you can barely see. There's dozens of them. And, of course, they have, like, the fucking supernatural, physics-defying, grenade-throwing abilities. Like, you're behind a corner, and this grenade just all of a sudden arcs around the corner and lands on your fucking shoe, and you're like, how'd that happen? I can't even shoot you because everything's waving around everywhere, and you threw this on my boot. Did that just happen? And it did. And so that was a very frustrating area, and I think I was just not very good at communicating where you needed to go, what you needed to do, because it, you know, wanted to look realistic and impressive, and it totally did. And I can totally respect that, but I think just in the end, it makes gameplay actually interacting with what you're supposed to be doing, like, more difficult.
Uh-huh.
Not, like, super hard, you know? Like, it's not like, oh my god, I'm so lost and I'm going to throw this game out my window, but just not as refined as it could be, I think.
It's like hindering the enjoyment.
Yes, exactly. It doesn't prevent me from enjoying the game. I'm still going to finish it, and it doesn't prevent me from playing, but it is a hindrance, yes. I think that's the best way to put it. Best word. Yeah. What else have I been playing? That's mostly about it. I played some free games on the Vita. Like, they had, like, this MotorStorm RC game. Not a big fan of that. Not a big fan of the controls. Pretty okay for a freebie, but I don't see myself putting any more time into it than I already have. And then I tried some of, like, the AR games. Not very good.
No?
No.
No face raiders?
No face raiders, good? Not face raiders. And some of them just, like, I don't even think they really needed, like, the AR cards. Like, there's this one, like, I was playing, like, Fireworks, and I thought this could be kind of neat. And you put down the card on a table, and you look at it, and it turns it into, like, a house. There's, like, a little house or something on the popping up out of the card, and, like, fireworks shoot off from the house. And then you don't use buttons, you use a touchscreen to tap the fireworks at their apex to trigger them, to make them explode, and it's sort of, I don't know, it's like a timing. Not really a rhythm game, but more of a timing-based game where it's very simple, just explode these fireworks at their apex and, you know. And first, number one, it's difficult to hold. It's difficult to hold this giant Vita focused on this card and then hold it in a way where you have full access to the touchscreen. I mean, I just want people who have not played this game to think about that for a minute and how heavy that Vita is going to become while you're trying to hold it focused over a card. And
you can't really put your hand, like, behind it either, because then you'd block the camera, right?
You probably won't block the camera. But, I mean, No. You can't hold... I don't think you can really hold it like a traditional game device when you're using the touchscreen, because the touchscreen's so big. developers need to understand, like, this is an expansive touchscreen. It's like the fucking Serengeti. I can't reach across the entire Serengeti. So if you're going to have me play a game that's touchscreen-based, you need to keep in mind that I'm also, with the other hand, having to hold this giant, heavy video game device, and that's going to get tiring after a while. So after about, like, 10 minutes of this game, I'm like, I'm done. I'm too, my wrist is done with this game right now. Huh. So I really wasn't that impressed. I mean, the game itself was sort of like, eh, not that great anyway, but just the fact that it was so uncomfortable to play. You know, I don't... They seem more like demonstrations of, like, see what AR can do rather than things that really make you want to play with AR. Does that make sense? Like, I mean, you whip out the AR cards, like the 3DS, for instance, and it's like this whole, like, creative suite. Like, you can play with this mini golf, you can draw little doodles and have them bounce around on your desk, and there's some fun in that. Maybe not long-lasting fun, but, I mean, there's some enjoyment there, and then you play, like, the fireworks game, and you're like, why am I even doing this? Why am I making my wrist hurt to explode these fireworks? Like, this, I'm not even having fun.
Yeah, I can understand that. That doesn't sound all that interesting.
No, like I said, it's just more of a fireworks. Yeah, it's just more like a demo to show, like, here's what AR does and here's how you use your touchscreen. And that's okay. Like, it's not terrible in that regard, but it's not very fun as a game either.
I mean, at least on the 3DS, even the less interesting AR games like fishing, you still, like, fight a dragon at the end.
Yeah, exactly. But that's about it for me. So, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Nope, not at all.
Okay, well, we can wrap up this episode then. I want to thank everyone for listening, and until next time, you guys take it easy.
Later.